in your own business. You already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Saturday, 9 to 10 a.m. It's a familiar name, but a new voice. Ron Largent, what's going on?
Well, we're going to talk about real estate, all aspects of real estate. We're going to kind of expand what we've been doing over the last couple of years with Kurt, and Kurt will be on the show. But in addition, we're going to talk a lot about community events, what's going on in our community. It's going to be a very interesting show, lots of guests, and we're going to invite our listeners to be part of it and call in. We're going to hear a lot about the community.
Saturday, 9 to 10 a.m. with Ron Largent's Real Estate and Community Events, KCNR 1460.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore with the NorCal Sports Hour. Tune in every Tuesday at 6 here on KCNR 1460 for all things Warriors, Kings, A's, Giants, Niners, and Raiders, as well as all your local high school standouts. Get your NorCal Sports Fix every Tuesday at 6 on the NorCal Sports Hour here on KCNR 1460 and KCNR1460.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, Reading, and Silver Mine people. It's Sunday morning, and we're back again.
We are, all over again.
All over again, but it's just myself and you.
Yeah, and got Red Smith and Linda Kent.
Yeah.
We are minus Mark Kent, who's a little under the weather this morning. And as always, our sound engineer and all-around great guy, Bob Martin.
Thank you.
I'm not sure what happened there, but... Gremlins. The gremlins are back.
That's static electricity. thank you so much, Red and Linda. Good morning, everybody.
Yeah. So we're on to another exciting show for Sovereign Minds. We've got some good guests coming up in the next couple of hours. We've got Joe Montez,
mm-hmm.
who is running against Doug LaMalfa for his congressional seat.
Yep.
And then after that, I believe we have the Lady Federalist.
We do. She'll be calling in.
And discussing all kinds of interesting things that are going on and some interesting concepts.
Yeah.
So,
but don't forget, you can join us on the chat room.
You can.
Yep. Or we're streaming live.
At KCNR1460.com.
You got it. And well, you can always call in.
Yeah, at 530-605-4567.
Yeah. So, with that, I want to remind everybody coming up this week, Friday and Saturday, Missing in America Project is having a garage sale at 6900 Danier Street here in Reading. And we are putting on this garage sale because, unfortunately, we are not funded by anybody, or fortunately, however you want to put that. And that helps us cover our expenses to go out and identify and locate cremains of veterans that are sitting on the shelves and give them a proper burial. So if you have time on Friday or Saturday, please stop by. You might find some treasure there that you can't live without.
Absolutely. And, I mean, what wonderful work Missing in America does, you know, to honor these guys that weighed down everything for America and to get them to their final resting place like they deserve.
Yeah, it's just kind of scary how many of them are actually sitting on the shelf that, you know, and it's not always somebody's fault, but they just got forgotten and they're just sitting there. So
yeah,
it's nice to do that. And don't forget also that the gun show's coming up this coming weekend.
It is.
Yes, at the Holiday Inn. We're going to be there Saturday and Sunday, and there's going to be lots of vendors and lots of good stuff there, too. So.
And do we have our tickets for the gun raffle yet?
Hopefully we will.
or gun drawing. Am I allowed to say raffle? I don't know.
We're going to say drawing, we will have three different levels of prizes, and they're all having pertaining to guns.
Mm-hmm. And I believe we've got a AR.
Yes, we do.
And then we have a tactical shotgun and a 270 rifle.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually have three opportunities to win per ticket. We're going to be selling those tickets, and it's going to be a pick of the litter kind of style auction where if your ticket's drawn first, you get to choose the first of those three firearms.
Right.
And then the second drawer will choose out of the two that are left, and then the last one you...
And I don't care what place you come in. I'm thinking I'd take any one of those without a problem.
I'm a little partial to the 270 myself.
Are
you? You know, everybody wants an AR. You know, it's like everybody wants a Corvette. But, you know, I'm kind of partial to the 270, nothing like a good old Chevy pickup.
I'm a Ford person, not a Chevy. So, I'll take.
But just to clear up any confusion, the gun show is not next weekend; it's the following weekend.
Oh,
first weekend of March.
What's
first
the
full weekend of March?
Oh,
the first. Yeah.
Oh,
first
I guess I'm off on both of them because it's March 4th and 5th. My bad.
Yeah, that's right. We
I'll
do
clarify
have another,
that.
We do
the
have
gun
week.
Show is March 5th and 6th. And the garage sale for Missing in America project is the 4th and 5th of March. I was thinking that February was, like, going to be over, but I guess we got one more week to go.
We actually have an extra day this February.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's actually 29 days. Don't forget that, because that's already thrown some people off the side.
Yeah, so whoever the caller was, thank you for clarifying that. I was a little behind.
But
it was Terry.
Oh.
Of course it
imagine
was.
Imagine that. And don't forget, we got the Reading Tea Party coming up this Monday night. We have Tim Pappas on at 6 p.m.
And I come down, learn about the Constitution. Tim Pappas is great with his knowledge. And not only his knowledge of the Constitution, but the way that the Constitution has been manipulated and the way that it is used in law, which is not necessarily always within means of the Constitution, but the way that it has. So you have the Constitution that he teaches very well, and then the way that it has been applied,
right,
correct or incorrectly, but the way that the Constitution has been applied. It is a good, great amount of knowledge to have. I think one of the most critical things that you can be doing at this point as an American is educating yourself to that document.
Yeah, and what's nice is he also lets you go back and forth. You know, you may have a different viewpoint or view something a little bit different or definition in the Constitution than he does. And he allows that, where a lot of them won't allow that debate that goes on with it, and then maybe you guys can see, you know, understand more and see eye to eye on how the Constitution actually works and how we should be applying it.
Mm-hmm. And what's really good about Tim is even if you point out something in the Constitution and he may agree with you, that he also explains to you how it's applied in the law. Even if you can make the point that, you know, I don't think that's what the Constitution really means. It's not what the Constitution says. And he'll talk to you about that and then go, but like it or not, this is the way that they apply it.
Right. This is what our founding fathers meant and how we're supposed to be using it.
And then this is the way that the Supreme Court decided that it meant, or, you know, how judges determine it, whether whether that's what the document really says or not. This is the practicality of how it's used.
And then also how our government's abusing it and throwing it by the wayside.
Yeah.
And determining certain things that they're doing.
So it is a very good, very well-rounded education on the Constitution you get from Mr. Pappas.
Right. So that's at Bonneville Destiny Fellowship.
2570 South Bonneville, Sally. I've got it.
Yay.
Thank you.
Got it. At 6 p.m. tomorrow night. And I guess with that, we have a caller on the line. Gary from Reading. Good morning.
Good morning. 'Tis a lovely day in Jefferson. Okay, in the real world, parents of school-age kids, you have until April 1st, and this is no April Fool's joke. I didn't put up the date. The United States District Court did, Sacramento Division. The ruling is just a ruling, came down over a week ago, that after April 1st, all student records from 2008 to present are available to any third party who wants them.
Any third party?
And that includes Social Security numbers and health data, age information, all kind, any data that the school basically has on your child.
So they don't have to be an official third party. I can call up on your kids, Robert, and say, hey, I want to know the details.
No, you can't call up on my kids.
All right. Maybe that wasn't a good example. Maybe we should pick somebody else's. But I can just call up and get that information or obtain that information.
Right. I'm thinking that the parents, since I'm of a different age 74, that so many of them have been raised with the cell phones, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, lack of privacy, that this will mean nothing to them. And I think this case is, as George Will would say, unintended consequences. The parents of the Morgan Hill Concerned Parents Association wanted info regarding what the schools were doing for their special needs students. Okay, fine. Great idea. But the court ruled any third party can be privy to this info, as Red said. So, it can mean anything. And they have until April 1st to send in the opt-out form, which is on the Internet. And if you are... look under, well, the easiest connection after we waded through some of the Stonewall was the Record Searchlight article. By the way, I wish Mark was there. It was accurate. I talked with the lady who called in the article, and it's Tracy Mann, who's been doing a lot of research, and she said there was one minor error, and that was it. So accolades to the... I wouldn't say the paper. It's accolades to the reporter whose name escapes me, but she did a good job.
Good.
But, parents, if you want to preserve your privacy, all you have to do is bring up the form, send it in by April 1st, and opt out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling probably not many will, because they have no idea what's happening.
So, again, where can they go to get the opt-out form?
Pardon? I didn't hear you.
Where can they go to get the opt-out form?
The opt-out form is online. It's with the whole court case. It's connected with the Record Searchlight article is one link, and you have to be patient because there are obstacles, I'm sure, put there by the government agencies, because they don't want people to know their rights or exercise their rights. So if you can maybe make a link, I'm computer illiterate, so I don't know what I'm talking about. You can ferret out, and you make a link to it, or maybe to the Tea Party, et cetera, somehow, and that a form where the letter, etc., is online. Either that, and I'll bring this stuff to the Tea Party meeting. So if you can't find it, you can copy it or whatever you do. So anyway, so much for my good news. And the last hour was great. And to Jefferson, we need to keep pounding and educating people what we're doing and how we're doing it. So
just
thank
keep
you very
swinging
much.
That
Have
hammer.
A great day, and I'll see you tomorrow night.
All right. Bye. Thanks for calling in,
right,
Gary.
And, you know, that is true. And we'll do what we can to get the information out there. We'll get it on to our various multimedia outlets and our social media outlets and get people to know. Because essentially what the ruling is the state of California said that any school children's information from 2008, including Social Security numbers, private data, medical history, can be released to any third party with no vetting. I could call up and ask. I mean, you know, it's not really a good thing. There's no kinds of checks, controls. You know, I personally believe that information shouldn't be released to anybody that the parents of the child don't decide to release that information to. You know, essentially a pedophile could call up and get the vital details of your child.
That's a very scary thing.
It is a very scary thing.
Yeah.
You know, and as Gary said, it's the law of unintended consequences, where people that were trying to do a good thing have turned it into a bad thing.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there's bad people out there that look for those opportunities mm-hmm. so they can prey on the innocent.
You know, and unfortunately, when the law of unintended consequences presents itself and a good thing turns into a bad thing, often the common denominator is government involvement.
Usually always.
No.
Unfortunately. I guess we need to go to a break, but before we go to a break, I guess I'll read the quote that my brother sent me today. A tyrant is always stirring up some war or other in order that the people may require a leader. Plato. And with that, we will go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
I grew up dreaming of being a cowboy and loving the cowboy ways, pursuing the life of my high-riding egos. I burned up my childhood days. I learned all the rules of a modern-day drifter. Don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the ladies that lead down with the world of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are unseen, sadly in search of one step and back on themselves and their slow moving dreams. Cowboys are special, with their own brand of misery.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California. That includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a better-known business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
For the past 17 years, the Shasta Land Trust has served our community by conserving significant places in far northern California that protect water quality, working agricultural ranches, and wildlife habitat. The Shasta Land Trust invites you to its annual Wild Ways kickoff on Saturday, February 27th. Join us to support local land conservation. You will be treated to delicious food featuring Prather Ranch beef, local wines, and craft brew. Visit the website at shastalandtrust.org or call the office at 241-7886. The Shasta Land Trust, protecting the places people love for future generations to enjoy.
Getting old is never easy. Imagine what it must be like for an older animal to lose their home and be left in a kennel wondering if you'll ever know love and companionship again. At Haven Humane, older animals are hard to place but have so much to offer. If you crave unconditional love, check out the older animals and remember PAL's Fund is available to supplement the cost if you lack the funds to adopt a loving companion. PAL was an amazing deaf Dalmatian that lived the life we would wish for all of our animals. Haven continues to accept donations to PAL's Fund and continue PAL's legacy.
Hi, I'm Rich Novelli, president of Wellgate Sports Club.
And I'm Allie Evers, proud owner of Boheme Spa.
At Wellgate, we're dedicated to building a club focused on improving the quality of your life, which is why we are so excited to introduce our new partner, Boheme Spa.
Thank you, Rich. Both Boheme Spa and Wellgate Sports Club share the same business philosophy and commitment to mind, body, and health. Conveniently located inside the Wellgate Sports Club, Boheme Spa is Redding's premier Aveda concept spa, featuring the complete line of Aveda products and Aveda signature services.
Wellgate Sports Club, in partnership with Boheme Spa, is proud to announce a groundbreaking new membership category called Rejuvenate. In addition to a standard premium access membership, Rejuvenate members receive 2 spa treatments per month from Boheme Spa for the term of the membership.
Reward yourself for your hard work and effort at the club with relaxing and restorative treatments.
Call 768-1205 today. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
Dandelion. Unique gifts and clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
Hi. I'm Rick Hughes, host of the newest talk radio show heard here on KCNR 1460 AM on the dial. It's called The Flotline, F-L-O-T, Flotline. It'll be heard every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 AM. Come join me and learn how God has tremendous problem-solving devices that you can use to stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside sources of stress. That's The Flotline with Rick Hughes every Sunday morning here on KCNR at 7 a.m.
KCNR, 1460 a.m. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 a.m.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, we don't need to escalate. See, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and give here today. Oh, pick it light. Signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on?
And we're back.
Yeah, it's a good song. Not usually what I use Marvin Gaye for, but that's a good song.
Yeah, what's going on out there? Mark posted in the chat room that for the opt-out forms, you can go to thepacificjustice.org, and you can find out that opt-out form for the school records.
Yeah, and I advise everybody to go do that. You don't want your kids' information out there to anybody and everybody.
Yeah.
You know, make them hack it and work for it like everybody else.
I mean, it's so easy for them to get most of the information anyway anymore. Why just hand it all to them?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and speaking about what's going on, I guess we're minus another presidential candidate after South Carolina.
Yeah, I guess Jeb didn't like the heat or
there will be
wanted
no
to get out of the fire or the pan or however you want to put it.
There will be no more Bush in the White House.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, that is a good thing. You know, I don't understand really what he was doing in the race to begin with. Really, Jeb Bush is the poster boy for the rhino establishment Republican Party that everybody's fed up with.
Yeah.
You know, at the beginning of the race, I said, you know, what did they do? Sit down in a room and say, who's the one person? Oh, the Jeb?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, it's, you know. So, yeah, Jeb Bush, after the South Carolina primary, which was won by Donald Trump.
Again,
Jeb Bush will no longer be in the race. So I think we're down to, what, Trump, Rubio,
Cruz,
Koskinen,
uh-huh,
or Kasich, I mean, and is that it?
I think there's one more, isn't there?
Ben Carson.
Yeah. There we go. And with that, I believe we have a caller on the line.
We have Kieran from Reading.
Good morning. Are you with us, Kieran?
I'm with you.
You have a question or comment for us this morning?
Yeah, I got a question. This is Che. And with the sending out all the information they're wanting to collect for all the, you know, disabled kids and all that kind of stuff, wouldn't you consider that to be a ploy with Common Core? Just another way for them to get all of our information without having to go through the computers?
You paranoid radical.
I can't help it, man. I hang out with
He's
you.
A conservative radical.
Yeah, I would say that there is more than likely a side agenda going on there.
There usually always is, isn't there?
There usually is.
Yeah.
And once that information becomes into the public realm, then it is grabbable by anybody, and it certainly plays into the data mining that's been going on with Common
mm-hmm.
Core and our children, and
yep.
identifying them into different matrixes and things like that.
I remember reading a little bit of the idea behind that, and it was mostly driven behind the behavioral side of things rather than whether or not they're getting the education for a disabled kid that they're supposed to be getting. It was more driven towards behavior, which is Agenda 21. So
they can segregate them.
Yeah, so that they can identify, segregate, and categorize them. And then when things like that happen, you know, they can start listing them and denying them their rights because of certain things, whereas they're making the big push now under mental health to stop people from purchasing and owning firearms. The problem is who defines what qualifies as a mental health issue?
Yeah, not that they change the definition of mental health from time to time, you know.
Well, according to Barbara Boxer, any veteran has some form of PTSD, which is a mental health issue, therefore should not be allowed to have weapons.
Right.
That's kind of funny. They spend all of that money and our tax dollars training those guys to handle those weapons safely. So who more better qualified to have weapons than military guys?
Right. Well, we totally agree with it, yeah.
But I trust them a lot more than Barbara Boxer with a gun.
Yeah, they're bringing it clear down to, you know, if a veteran is having somebody, like, pay their bills for them,
mm-hmm.
they are considering them that they're not able to have a firearm, that they're mentally unstable because of that.
Yeah. And that does play into things. And people that are not aware of the matrixes, they're absolutely out there. This is not a tinfoil hat conspiracy or, you know, some prison planet thing or anything like that. It's quite out in the open. You can go research it and look up behavior matrixes.
Yep.
And the United States government has developed computer programs where they plug in certain information that they data mine from you and your children, a la Common Core, and they identify people that they believe will be quote-unquote troublemakers or things like that. And those matrices and identifiers are actually beginning to be used by law enforcement personnel.
You mean profiling?
They are absolutely profiling.
Well, they can't do that, Red. That's just unethical and against the law, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I know, and it's because we're sitting here in our tinfoil room making this stuff up, right?
Yeah, I mean, anyway.
But I've actually seen examples of it being used. There's one recording that's going around out of Oregon, of all strange places, that there was a traffic stop that the dispatch was recorded by people that listened to scanners. And as it came back, I can't remember the exact word for it, but there's a word for this program that they're using. And the officer was told, be aware, according to this such and such a profile, his social media lists him as a constitutionalist. Be aware and call for backup.
Unbelievable.
And that's because they have data mined this person's, you know, his Facebook history, his whatever data they have on him, and the matrix pops up and red flags him and goes, hey, this person believes in the Constitution. He's probably a problem. We better have extra officers on the scene.
We have probable
and
cause.
This is actually
now we
happened.
Can pull him over. Yeah, we have probable cause. Now let's pull him over. And let's search them and see what we can find.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And this is why you want to do what you can to protect your data, and especially your children. Why do you want that out there in the public realm?
Exactly.
Totally agree.
Now that the judge has made it pretty much anything and everything they can think of to get their hands on public, you know, what all do we have left?
Yeah.
I mean, for as far as Common Core goes, that's kind of the nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
If you can get your, anybody else who's listening to this, get your guys' kids, grandkids, anybody else you can think of that opt out, get the paperwork going and shut them down.
Yep. Yeah. Totally agree with that.
We're big supporters of looking into alternatives to begin with, homeschooling, charter school, things like that. So.
Oh yeah,
but Che, we got ourselves
a after charter schools now.
Yep, they're not going to stop. So we need to stand up. But with that, we do have another caller on the line.
So
but you guys have a good day, and thank
you
very much for answering the question.
You bet. You too, thanks Che. For calling in. Good morning, Emily. Are you?
No, this is Beverly.
Oh, Beverly. Oops.
When I saw, you know me.
Yeah. What can we do for you?
The data information, you go online to Morgan Hill Concerned Parents, and you can look up, there's like 20 different articles there. But one of the things parents need to know is back from January of 2008, they have to do an opt-out form to every school the child went to.
And for every child.
And if the child is 18, the parent can't do it, the 18-year-old has to do it.
Interesting.
So, for instance, if my grandchildren, my name is on the paperwork for me to pick them up, they can pull my data from that.
That's insane.
So it's pretty scary.
And who gives them a right? I mean, you know, what right do they have to pull?
The judge just gave them the right. Because the schools have given it over to them. So we need to fight hard and talk to all of these parents and remind them that it's so important to get the opt-out form.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. And that is important, though, that you have to fill out that form for every child, for every school that they have attended.
Holy crap. Correct. Because, like, when we were kids, you know, we moved around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Our father worked for the state of California on the Caltrans, what they call Caltrans now. So we moved a lot.
Yeah.
Trying to remember every school we went to.
Yes.
Would be a task.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm sure there's a lot of families now that move around a lot.
Or you can just stick your head in the sand and say, well, I'm not doing anything wrong, so I don't have anything to worry about. And just
it's not affecting me yet.
It's not that person. It's not the parent of the child. It's who you put on there. They're in danger also.
Mm-hmm. So anybody that at any time has had access to your child to pick them up from school or is an emergency contact or anything, their data is now available to the public realm.
Correct.
That, isn't that cute?
Yeah. Can you say Nazi
and
Germany?
And that's what people don't understand is the ramifications of all of it is they can get all of us. Because how many of us parents, grandparents, have our name on school records?
Mm-hmm. You will comply.
Yes, Nazi Germany all over again if we're not careful
okay.
here, folks.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right,
thanks for calling in. We appreciate that, and I guess we need to go to a break. But before we do, I would like to read a quote. Let us not seek the Republican answer or the Democratic answer, but the right answer. Let us not seek to fix the blame for the past. Let us accept our own responsibility for the future. John F. Kennedy. And with that, we will go to a break. You want to call in? The number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North. Right.
Some traditional Mexican food for second Tuesday dinner in March, Abby.
I love authentic Mexican food. We must be going to Mazatlan Grill.
That's right. With their welcoming, friendly staff and fiesta-like atmosphere, you can start with tableside guacamole made to your liking and sizzling fajitas and so much more to choose from.
Please join us on Tuesday, March 8th at Mazatlan Grill as they graciously donate a portion of the proceeds to Haven Humane Society to help them care for the stray, abused, and unwanted animals as they look to place them in loving homes.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
Have you ever used the excuse, the devil made me do it? Well, you may be right. I'm Screwtape, demon extraordinaire and star of The Screwtape Letters, the wildly popular stage adaptation of the best-selling novel by C.S. Lewis. In a series of brilliantly composed letters, I teach young Wormwood the art of temptation. It's a wickedly witty portrait of how demons like me influence your everyday life. But don't take my word for it. After all, why should you trust me? The Wall Street Journal raves, C.S. Lewis, The Screwtape Letters is one hell of a good show. Delightfully repulsive. And the National Review calls it pure genius. An outstanding piece of work. See C.S. Lewis, The Screwtape Letters. Get your tickets today.
Reading Civic Auditorium, Friday, March 4th. Tickets and info at readingcivic.com or by calling the box office 229-0022.
Hi, I'm John Scape, owner of Properties by Merit. We specialize both in residential and commercial real estate. Whether you're looking to buy or sell, call us today at 338-2112. At Properties by Merit, we help your real estate dreams become reality. Visit our website at pbmerit.com or call today 338-2112.
Properties by Merit is California Corporation licensed by the California Bureau of Real Estate. California BRE license number 019458161.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at megastarfinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 3043. Saturday 9 to 10 a.m. It's a familiar name, but a new voice. Ron Largent, what's going on?
Well, we're going to talk about real estate, all aspects of real estate. We're going to kind of expand what we've been doing over the last couple of years with Kurt, and Kurt will be on the show. But in addition, we're going to talk a lot about community events, what's going on in our community. It's going to be a very interesting show, lots of guests, and we're going to invite our listeners to be part of it and call in. We're going to hear a lot about the community.
Saturday 9 to 10 a.m. with Ron Largent's Real Estate and Community Events, KCNR 1460.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore with the NorCal Sports Hour. Tune in every Tuesday at 6 here on KCNR 1460 for all things Warriors, Kings, A's, Giants, Niners, and Raiders, as well as all your local high school standouts. Get your NorCal Sports Fix every Tuesday at 6 on the NorCal Sports Hour here on KCNR 1460 and KCNR1460.com.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Saying Jeb Bush is officially out of the race.
Yep.
The American wing of the Saudi family will not be retaking the White House this election term.
Dang it.
Darn.
Boy, I'm so broke up over that, let me tell you.
I am actually just heart-stricken that the establishment Rhino Republican will not be there.
Yeah.
Does it? It hurts.
Yeah, sure, yeah. It does. We've had enough of the Bushes.
I've had enough of the establishment Republican Party.
That's true.
I want things actually to change. I want this country to get back on course and be steered the right direction. I don't want to double down on failure. I don't want to double down on compliance. You know, I think there's a vast majority of us that want our country back.
We definitely do, because it's slipping away so fast.
It is.
Really fast.
And I don't see that George Bush would have been, or Jeb Bush would have been real strong.
Joe Bush, whatever his name is.
Bush the third.
Yeah, I don't see where he would have made any difference compared to what we've had with the other Bushes.
No, I think it would have been more of the same, and that quiet slip into socialism.
Yeah, we've already had enough fire, fuel put on the fire, so to speak, with Obama. We don't need any more fuel. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we need some time to catch our breath, pick ourselves up off the mat, and get ready to get back into the ring.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to say that I am happy to see his departure is an understatement.
Interesting postmortem on the Bush campaign here this morning. There's going to be no shortage of analysis on this, but one called Unforced Errors and Miscalculations from Reuters this morning. It says how Bush found himself out of the race after just the third nominating contest of 2016 is a cautionary tale of political miscalculation and strategic errors, according to interviews with a dozen Republican operatives, many with close ties to the Bush campaign and others who worked for the last two Republican nominees. From the start, they said Bush appeared to misjudge the mood of the Republican base in December of 2014.
Really? There's an understatement.
Oops!
In December of 2014, for instance, Bush gathered his senior aides and a small group of national political operatives for a meeting in Miami to talk about his coming candidacy. A survey to gauge the national mood of the party was dismissed by Bush and his aides as unnecessary. The participants said such polling would have made clear to Bush the rebellious sentiment of the conservative base of the party. The participant said simply, they missed the boat.
That who cares what the peasants are thinking?
Yeah, it won't matter anyway. We've got them now.
I'm a Bush.
Yeah, they'll have to accept me.
And that polling may have also helped the campaign of Donald Trump, the political outsider who tapped into that anti-establishment anger and stormed to the top of the polls. Viewing Trump as a summer fad who would fade given his outrageous comments, Bush's campaign was slow to respond to the billionaire when he first blasted Bush last August as being low energy. Bush maintained his above-the-fray strategy and focused on his policy proposals instead of mixing it up with Trump. Trump relentlessly and bluntlessly attacked Bush in speeches and on Twitter, portraying him as tired, weak, and out of touch with the party. Trump has mentioned Bush on Twitter far more than any other Republican candidate. And when the low-energy attack started to take hold and his poll numbers began dropping, he went out of his way to insist he had plenty of energy to be president. Behind the scenes, though, donors said they fretted that too much time had gone by before he took the problem and Trump seriously. Turns out they were right.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
So, essentially, Donald Trump accused Jeb Bush of being low-energy and out of touch with the party. Nailed it.
He's being pretty truthful with that one.
Yeah, I mean, whatever you happen to think about Donald Trump, he hit that one right on the head there.
Right out of the park.
You know, and I think that's a bit of the revolution that you're seeing in the party altogether. And the sense of disenfranchisement and dissatisfaction in this last election, when the Republicans were able to take the Senate and take the House, there was a great deal of fervor and excitement and people thinking, finally, we're gonna put a stop to this nonsense that's going on. We're going to start to reverse course. We're gonna put a leash on this president. And none of that has really occurred.
No. The Republicans back down every time.
Yeah. They have surrendered and surrendered and surrendered and backpedaled and gone right along. You know, and one of the most important things coming up now with the death of Scalia is, are they actually going to allow this president to further subvert the Supreme Court with the nomination, when the Democrats' own tactics have been to oppose last year lame duck nominations?
Right.
Are they going to allow this to occur? And does anybody really have a strong sense that Mitch McConnell is going to stand up for what's right and defend this country from whatever psychotic socialist radical our president's going to propose.
Yeah, we've seen it so many times over and over again that they buckle every time. Oh, yeah, we'll stand fast. We'll stand fast. And then when it comes right down to it, they buckle. And
it's just words.
Yeah.
It's
doesn't matter what I tell you.
Yeah, they've surrendered on everything from immigration to repealing Obamacare to the TPP to and this dissatisfaction has fostered, as Bob was saying, a rebellion in the Republican Party. And I think the early defeat of Bush should signal a warning to the rest of the establishment. The people are done with you.
Which we need to.
Absolutely.
We need to stand up, like you were talking earlier, and get back to our Constitution and get back to what America is about.
Yeah, we need to get back to the fundamentals. You know, to put it in football terms, we're trying to figure out how to run the spread option. We don't even know how to hand the football off.
We can't even hike it at this point, you
yeah,
know?
It's terrible.
It is, and it's time that people, whether they have to get mad or hurt or whatever it takes for them to stand up, and if they realize that if we all start standing together, we definitely can make a difference in what happens to our country instead of sitting idly by going, well, I'm not going to. It's not affecting me yet.
But it is. It's affecting everybody. I don't know that there's really anybody left in this country that hasn't been touched by the destruction that has been wrought by this administration and by the previous Congress and the current Congress that's allowing these policies and these things to continue.
Well, there's some people out there that are liking the free stuff. Oh, I get free this. I get a free phone. I get free money.
There's no such thing as free.
They don't get it yet.
You know, and what I find excessively humorous is what's going on over in the Democratic Party and Bernie Sanders. As Bernie Sanders, by votes, continues to win primary after primary, the Democrats are opting with superdelegates to give those primaries to Hillary Clinton anyways.
Yeah.
So the socialist that says, let's just take from the people that earned it to give to the people that didn't earn it, is actually getting a dose of his own policy by the Democratic Party taking the votes that he earned and giving it to somebody who didn't. I find that just hilarious.
And how does that feel? Spread the vote.
Do you feel the burn?
Do you feel the burn? Yeah.
Just the delicious irony of that happening to Bernie Sanders just kind of warms my heart.
Yeah, but isn't that the way it works with anything? You know?
It is.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as...
Karma is a wonderful thing sometimes, isn't it? She's wicked, too.
Yeah. But see, karma terrifies me because I hope I never get what I deserve.
Well, we don't need to know about the past.
That's true.
You know. Our past lives, we all have probably a few things we wouldn't like karma to visit us on, but that's the way it works with those people.
Mm-hmm.
And they cut their own throat, and then they want to blame us because they're cutting each other's throat.
Well, and that's going back to Jeb Bush. Not only was he out of touch with the base, he was out of touch with reality, with what's going on in the country. This is not the 1980s, you know, Reagan era. We're seeing the collapse of the petrodollar. We're seeing the shakiness of the world markets. We're seeing the collapse of world trade. Big banks, Deutsche Bank in Germany is getting ready to fold up. And if Deutsche Bank in Germany folds, then Germany itself folds. And they're that are floating Greece, Italy, Portugal, Spain. The entire EU faces collapse. While everybody's celebrating right now the low prices of gasoline, that is the collapse of the worldwide petrodollar, and it is having ramifications throughout the planet.
Yeah, I was going to say the world.
And the destruction that's going to cause and the destabilization that's going to cause. Somebody that was out of touch as Bush is, there's no way that he was prepared for the coming global storm here, because what we're facing financially is going to be a drop in the bucket to 2008. You know, 2008 was a hiccup compared to the destabilization that's occurring right now.
Yeah, and that's what people don't realize. You know, sure, it's all happening somewhere else to some degree,
mm-hmm.
but it's like physics.
And
you know,
and in a certain fashion, America needs to turn inwards and heal its own wounds and develop its own independence. And well,
which we can do very easily if we're allowed to.
Absolutely. We can be energy independent. We can be economically independent. We have to be able to stand on our own 2 feet. And while we need to be looking at that as the direction of our country, our Congress and our Republican establishment is attempting to figure out how to surrender our sovereignty and how to weaken ourselves further on the global market and make ourselves compliant to international standard and international law.
Yeah, be more dependent on all the other countries we should be like we were intended to be.
Yes, but while we are turning inwards and healing ourselves, we have to be very careful not to become isolated and isolationists, because that's the road to war and always has been historically.
Right. And with that, stay tuned. In the second hour, we have a special guest, Joe Montes, 1st Congressional District, with us. So stay tuned, and we'll catch you on the other side. This has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
And this is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Competition is still stiff.
Senators, top of the line. I know Ben Carson is still in, and he's a terrific guy and a talented guy. And so I'm competing against a lot of very good people. So, you know, I don't want to say it's mine.
Ted Cruz, a close third in the primary. After the votes were tabulated, Jeb Bush decided to drop out of the race. Over in Nevada, meanwhile, Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton beat Bernie Sanders by about 6 points. Police have apprehended a suspect in a series of random shootings in the Kalamazoo, Michigan area that left 6 people dead yesterday. Public Safety Chief Jeff Hadley.
This is obviously a tragic event. Anytime a community loses 6 people in senseless random acts of violence is just tragedy.
A 14-year-old girl and another woman were wounded in the shootings. They managed to survive. The suspect is in custody, a 45-year-old man with no criminal history. Officials in Fiji say at least 6 people are dead, and most of that Pacific Island chain is without electricity following a powerful cyclone that tore through with winds of 177 miles an hour this weekend. A state of emergency remains in effect. Some people have been told to stay in their homes. There are still areas without communications or access by road. Secretary of State John Kerry says all parties still need to be fully consulted, but he's announcing a provisional agreement on a ceasefire that could begin in the next few days in Syria's 5-year-old civil war. Kerry says he has spoken with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov to discuss terms of the ceasefire, and the two are now going to reach out to the parties involved in the conflict. Kerry says further details should be available soon. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-423-4557. That's 1-800-423-4557. 1-800-423-4557. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors not available in all states.
A military spokesman for Burkina Faso says Ivory Coast has extradited 3 former members of an elite unit that staged a brief failed coup in this past September. Colonel Sita Sangara, a military prosecutor, says the suspects arrived in Ouagadougou last night. They became the target of international arrest warrants after they fled to Ivory Coast when the coup failed and Burkina Faso's transitional government was restored. The two countries' presidents have sought to ease tensions after Burkina Faso's military tribunal announced in January an arrest warrant had been issued for Guillaume Soro, the head of Ivory Coast's parliament, for his alleged role in the September coup. A prominent columnist today is delivering the harshest attack to date on Egypt's president and local media, saying in terms of freedoms, Abdel Fattah al-Sisi's rule is not much different from the Islamic regime that he removed back in 2013. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. How to convince Americans to drink more soda. That's the challenge facing the purveyors of pop.
Coke and Pepsi are trying to rehabilitate soda's cheap image and fetch higher prices as Americans keep cutting back on sugary fizz. That means more stylized cans and bottles of Coke, as well as the expansion of Mexican Coke. Pepsi is pushing craft sodas, even plans to open a New York City eatery honoring the cola nut in the spring.
Correspondent Rich Thomason, while soda remains big business, between 2000 and 2014, U.S. soda sales volume fell by 14%. Today is Sunday, February the 21st, the 52nd day of 2016. There are 314 days left in the year. On this date in history, 1916, the World War I Battle of Verdun began in France as German forces launched their attack. The French were able to prevail, but only after 10 months of bloody fighting. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank. Professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouth.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
And we're back in the second hour of Sovereign Minds.
We are. We made it through the first one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We covered a lot of territory there.
We did. There's always a lot going on, though. It's not like they lack to provide us with things to talk about.
No. And like our song says, we have to stand up.
That we do.
Yes. And with that, we have a guest in the studio. And Joe Montez, running for the first District 1 congressional seat. Would you like to tell us a little something about you?
Sure. Thank you, Linda, for having me.
You bet.
You know, I think I'm a lot like most people, and it doesn't matter left or right. I think most people are sitting on their couches complaining because of the situation our country's in. We have a broken economy, a failed military. We don't seem to have any direction. We certainly have no moral compass. And I think that when you have anywhere from 9 to 11%, depending on which poll you look at, congressional approval rating, that is a huge disconnect between the largest body of elected officials and those that put them there. So I think most people are looking at this as just a self-interested group of people. And I think the mood of the country is best demonstrated by what you're seeing happening with Donald Trump, Ted Cruz and even Bernie Sanders, people are saying, you know, we don't want people that are connected to the problem. We want a fresh new way to look at this. And we say, sweep the lot of them out. I'm part of that movement, and I want to be part of the solution. Our congressman, Doug LaMalfa, in my opinion, is part of the establishment. He's a career politician. He's contributed to a lot of these problems, certainly with respect to the 1st Congressional District. I don't see any active efforts to economy here. We have very high unemployment rates. I think it takes more as a congressperson than just checking the right box, all pun intended. I think what it takes is very active efforts within the district, too, to bring employers, for example, to this community, to these communities, and to make sure that we are actively building our business base instead of just waiting for things to happen. He's also taken the wrong side on some bills that he's passed, which I very much disagree with. So for a number of reasons, I've decided that I want to enter this race and give people at least another conservative choice.
Yes, and I believe there's a great deal of people that are in agreement with that that have become very disenfranchised with Mr. LaMalfa and some of the things that he's done. I know one of the big ones for us personally at the Tea Party and some other groups was the TPP bill.
Yep.
That actively surrendered the sovereignty of the United States.
Horrific, horrific bill.
Yeah, and at the town hall meeting or at the Tea Party when he came and spoke, and he said, no, it won't do that. No, it won't do that. No, it won't do that. And look, that's exactly what it's doing to us.
And not only that, but the response from himself and his office and his employees to people that questioned him on that bill and brought things to light that he was obviously not aware of, and the defensive manner that he reacted in and accusing people that have been long staunch supporters of him of, you know, essentially stabbing him in the back and betraying him and then saying that they were uninformed and they were implying that they're unintelligent and they spend too much time on the internet. I mean, the entire treatment, not only the manner that he voted for the bill, but the response after that, too, was just very disheartening for a lot of people.
Well, I agree, and you know, how dare you question the master? I mean, that's the right of the people to push back, and I think people's eyes are being opened about where their representative stands. You know, I've been in the last week, I've been to two meetings where Doug LaMalfa has spoken, and what we get is the 30-second soundbite stuff, you know, about things that are happening on the national level that, you know, quite honestly, I can get from Fox News or reading the paper. What I'm really focused on is, what are you doing for the 1st Congressional District? Because his mandate is to be a representative for that district. So I want to know what he's doing, and I think that's the big question out there. What are you doing for us?
Well, all that he's written two bills directly himself since he's been in Congress, and both of those bills had to deal with Indian casinos and Indian reservations, one of them not even in his own congressional district, which is disconcerting to what is he doing for the constituents here when the only legislation involves his third largest campaign donor.
Yeah, and, you know, he's also worked very closely on other bills like H.R. 5781, which is guised as an emergency water transfer to the needy folks down south. This is a horrific practice. Fortunately, it wasn't passed by the Senate, but we cannot afford those waters to be going down south to southern farmers and growing crops which compete against ours. And then what happens when the surface water allotment is sold, those that have done the selling, they go deeper into the ground to the aquifer, which has a limited supply of water, and they draw what they need to grow their crops. Well, that leaves the little farmer, the majority of the farmers. They're having to bear these really high costs of sinking their wells deeper and deeper just to try to find water. Mm-hmm. And there is an end to this. This is a failed policy that needs to stop.
Yes. And it's not just the water, but he's been in the hip pocket with Monsanto from the very beginning, which is very concerning to some of us.
Well, that's true, and I want to come back to that, too, and some things to do with rice sales under the TPP. But to address the water issue, essentially, well, the farmers and ranchers back home here in the district are getting cease and desist orders on their irrigation for their livestock and their crops. He's trying to figure out how to expedite water transfer to people outside of his district.
Yes.
And
who are you serving? That is the question that people need to keep asking. He has a very specific role as the representative of the 1st Congressional District.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And, you know, another one, he's been very supportive in behind the Sites Reservoir Project and the water bond, despite the fact that a large majority of the counties that he represents voted against it. By a large majority, the North State voted against that water bond because they knew that it would be harmful to our interest.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. LaMalfa has been there holding that project's hand the entire time.
You know, and I'm going to tell the listeners out there, I am not as familiar or with the depth of the issues as I want to be. I made that announcement basically the other day when I was speaking before the party of Jefferson and some Tea Party members. But I want to find out, you know, how bad these bonds are. There's other ways. We clearly need more water. I think we need water storage. But it's the way we go about it that I think needs to be questioned very carefully.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of us believe that we should probably be building water storage indefinitely and probably not stop until the near future. It would be something that would stimulate the economy, would help us in the North State, would help those in the southern part of the state. But it has to be done correctly. Because when you have a $7.5 billion water bond, over half of that money is legislated for environmental justice, which means it's going to go to groups like the Sierra Club and the Nature Conservancy and things like that that are going to use those funds to sue and settle and enrich themselves. There's a problem. When most of that money is set aside for administrative fees and not actually going to the project itself, there's a problem. When you ask a representative like Jim Nielsen, hey, Jim, after all of the money comes out of this project, is there even enough money left to break ground on Sites Reservoir? And he says, no, there is a problem. The children and the grandchildren of California are being saddled with the $7.5 billion debt for no productive cause.
Yeah. I don't know where you ever find a government program that efficiency is the order of the day. I mean, you're going to funnel billions of dollars, trillions of dollars have funneled through our system, and virtually pennies come out at the end. I mean, so it's always a grab fest for people along the way, and that's what needs to be challenged. That's the process I'm talking about.
Well, that's true. And then there's other questions that we've discovered about the Sites Reservoir Project. Speaking to a hydrologist and an engineer that's very familiar with the project, he says it's an inefficient reservoir for crop irrigation to begin with because it's not actually new water storage. They're pumping surface water from the Sacramento River into the Sites Reservoir, so you're not really capturing any water so much as transferring it. And he said the method that they're using to do that, they're going to suffer over 50% loss of the water from surface evaporation before it even gets to the Sites Reservoir. Wow. And since there is no cold water going into the Sites Reservoir and it's a warm water reservoir, it's going to be very prone to invasive species and toxic algae blooms, which makes it unusable for irrigation to begin with. The entire thing's a boondoggle.
Yeah, again, this is something I want to get a lot more familiar with, but these are critical issues. I mean, you can't, just a transfer of water doesn't work. You have to have an efficient process for approaching it to do what we all need, we know needs to be done. We need extra water. We have to find storage, but we have to make it meaningful, and we have to do it in a very efficient way.
You know, we do.
Which brings us to another water issue I don't know if you're familiar with, which is the Klamath Dam removal.
Yeah, I'm slightly familiar with that, and I know that it calls for the removal of four dams, and I know that there's problems involved with that. I know that the parties at one point had reached agreement, and that our representative wasn't there. I don't know why we don't look at things like, I mean, I haven't seen any costing analysis on how efficient it would be to build fish ladders through these dams, or, you know, rehab them in some way rather than remove them. Power loss doesn't seem to be a huge issue because I think it's only about 2% loss, which could be made up by Oregon and I believe Utah as well. But it's an issue that, you know, we're scheduled to go up to Klamath here in the near future. I want to actually talk to the parties because I think that's the best way to get, you know, involved with the issues is hear from all these competing interests themselves and let them tell me instead of just reading something in the newspaper or looking online. I think it's very important to be amongst the people.
And it's amazing when you're actually able to remove most of the government involvement other than being an arbitrator when you can get the parties to sit down and discuss with each other and what sort of compromises can be brought about that are productive for both sides.
Yeah, because in the communication, if you don't do that, it either gets lost or added to in the meaning of what somebody's to convey to someone else about their concerns or what might happen. Gets lost.
Well, and also, I think, you know, I read about recently a federal agency now getting involved, and that's a delegation, that's a further delegation of legislative responsibilities, if they have it, over to the fourth branch of government, and that's a growing problem, an immense threat to our way of life. So I think we need to stop. We already have, in my opinion, we have one branch of government. And the reason I say that is because the court system has usurped so much power for itself, and people have given over power to the courts. A lot of lawyers, most legislators, they believe that the court has so much more power than it does. Their duties were very specifically enunciated in the Constitution, and clearly they have gone way beyond that. And when you have a president, you know, an administration, an executive branch that does the appointment of these folks, this is the consolidation of those two branches into one. And so what you see is in an administration like this, the use of executive orders and vetoes to expand his power and the court being given power basically by both the administrative and the legislative branch. That's why you have this emasculation of the legislative branch, who doesn't even know what its authority is and certainly doesn't enforce it. And I think that contributes to this decline in respect that people have for that largest body of elected people.
I agree with all that.
I'd say that nailed it.
Yeah. Hit that out of the park. We do have a caller on the line. Good morning, Terry. You have a question or comment for Joe?
Yeah, Joe. How are you doing this morning?
Hi, Terry.
I've just got a couple quick observations, and I want to come back to one thing. You were talking about how Doug LaMalfa needs to serve the district. Red made a comment earlier this morning, which was fantastic, and that is that rather than serving the Republican Party, our congressman needs to serve the district. Well, in saying that, I know that you're trying to get up to speed on Agenda 21.
Yes.
I know you didn't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
I know you don't know about the dams. I know you don't know about the water issues. And and the comment about the power of being in the courts now is sort of something you can see on Fox News. So I guess what I'm asking is that without knowing the local issues, how can you be in a position to say, well, you know, I want to serve the district? And I don't mean that in a bad way.
Yeah.
I believe in your passion. I believe you have a good heart. I believe you're a good man. But really and truly, when you're going against someone who you coined as a career politician and you don't know the local issues, that's a big deal. This isn't on-the-job training, so I'd like your comment on that.
Sure. Thank you, Terry. I am not unfamiliar with the majority of the issues in the district. I am very familiar with the water issue that I've talked about. I know the destruction that it's working on the small farms. I know what appears to be a self-interest in authoring or co-authoring or assisting with bills that would transfer our water down south. I know the hardships of the farmers having to go deeper to get that water because the majority of farmers in the 1st Congressional District are groundwater dependent. So I that is a critical issue also. But I also know about things that Doug LaMalfa is not present at any economic development functions. I think the economy is the first thing that we need to focus on, and we can certainly, you know, do things, you know, in tandem. But the economy, I am very experienced in building business. In fact, in Chico, after many months of negotiation, I brought a multinational company whose name I cannot mention because I'm forbidden under the contract to do so. But they have brought many, many, many jobs to the community. I just negotiated another agreement with them in which their population will essentially double. So I am very experienced at building businesses, and that's why I said earlier, the person who represents the first congressional district, not the party, but the district, needs to do more than check the box. They need to be actively involved in going out and bringing employers to our area. It's a beautiful area. It has so many resources, and that's why the South wants to deprive us of a voice, because we have some of the greatest resources on earth. So economically, we need to focus on that. We should do things at the national level, too, which is push back on our tax rates. We need to lower those taxes so that more people have more money in their pockets. And when they do, they spend it. That causes employers to expand their workforce to keep up with the demand for goods, and it causes them to create more jobs to accommodate that need. I also believe strongly in economic development in terms of pushing back on our trade deficits. We have many, many countries that we have trade deficits with. Most people know about China, but what a trade deficit is, for folks out there listening, is the ability of a country to bring us more goods than they'll accept from us. And why do we allow that? Why do we allow that when we have such high tariffs in place by a lot of those nations? Some of our farmers are paying as much as 90% tariffs on these crops. For those nations with which we have a trade deficit, that's a logical place to start. Push back and say, you know what, you may charge us because that's going to be your call, but we're not going to allow you access to our very desirable marketplace. I think things change immediately by doing that. So economic development, I am very familiar with. I'm actively engaged in. I'm actively engaged in the water issues, and I'm actively engaging with the farming community to find out what their issues are. I'm a veteran, and I also understand the problems that are associated with the VA. I've been a member of the American Legion for 23 years. I vote for the legislation that they propose because I know it is good for our returning men and women in uniform. We have an obligation to take care of them, and I'm very focused on that as well. But I am not ignorant of the issues. I may be ignorant about some of the fine points of them. But thank you for the question, Terry.
Well, I want to thank you for the answer. It's nice to get an answer from someone who gave that was a great answer, because you actually answered my question. And I think that as many of the listeners, many of us, when we do ask a question of somebody, we don't get the answer. And I think you just put into perspective how government does help business. As you say, lower taxes, get out of the way. Lower regulation, get out of the way. And the other thing, one last quick thing I want to ask you about is, what would you do about corporate taxes?
I would lower them as well. I mean, you know, companies, when they have more money in their pockets, so to speak, they can also invest in their own infrastructures, into technology. We're losing the battle of technology at the military level, at the private enterprise level, because they're not able to invest in their marketplaces and in their technology to keep their businesses going. So I think that overall reduction in taxes is the way to grow, not by transferring more burden to people to pay more taxes. That's not a way to grow.
Well, even the burden of being a startup in this country, and especially in this state, is so cumbersome and so expensive, it crushes the entrepreneurial spirit.
Absolutely.
That has always driven America. And one of the things that I would like to point out is you cannot simply elect a representative and then turn around and walk away for the next 4 years and expect your interests to be served. There is a duty to us to remain eternally vigilant and bring to you the issues that are locally occurring, and to help keep you informed so that you know what's going on. And what we're looking for that we have not had out of Representative LaMalfa or his office is when those concerns are brought to people, somebody that actually listens and responds to that.
Yeah, it was refreshing to get an answer to a question rather than a dance. Thanks, Joe.
All right, thanks for the call.
Yeah, there's a great many of us that are really quite fed up with when we bring concerns to our congressional office being insulted.
Well, and you know what? You mentioned that the difficulties of new businesses starting up. It is not just that. There are very established businesses in this community, Sierra Pacific Industries being one of them, that is so heavily regulated by so many different state and federal agencies that it just crushes their ability to compete in the marketplace. And then we let those products come over from other countries at a price that shows there's no regulations at all, inferior products normally. How is a great company like Sierra Pacific Industries supposed to even compete? And these are well-established long-term businesses.
Yeah. Well, as a prime example of what you're talking about and our inability to get to our own resources, why can you buy Canadian plywood cheaper than you can from Sierra Pacific?
It's crazy.
It is insane. We are so resource rich here. If we could just get into our own forests and our own mineral wealth and our own livestock and agricultural wealth. I remember growing up where Northern California was the crown jewel of California. Our schools were funded. We had the finest equipment. We had good teachers. We had the best of everything, and a lot of that was on the back of the timber and the mineral industry, and it worked. This idea of, you know, they were outlaying waste to the environment is insane.
Well, they've put so many laws and regulations on the businesses and the timber industry and everything that they can't comply. I mean, they can't perform the duty because the value of the dollar isn't there either. So they have to. That's why it's coming in from other places. They can't even produce their own products
and
make a profit with all the laws and regulations.
Here's how crazy
in the economy.
It is. Sometimes, even when one of the 3, 4, 5 different agencies involved says, "Okay, yeah, you're good to go," they still have the barriers posed by the other agencies. I mean, it's almost impossible to do business in this state for these great companies.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's disheartening. You take Trinity County, for example, which is a county that is currently $40 million in debt, that are sitting on $8.5 billion worth of harvestable timber that they watched go up in smoke because of forest mismanagement.
That's right. And those are the policies that they're living with. And you know what? I mean, businesses like these that are based on the land, they can't just take their business and go somewhere else.
No.
I mean, so they're just left to struggle through this nightmare. Their representative needs to be actively involved in pushing these barriers back. I mean, the notion of not being able to clear out the forest, you know, so that when a lightning strike happens and it's burning up land, and then, of course, what does the government do? They blame Sierra Pacific for having caused it, rather than what is probably the most normal explanation, which is there's any number of things naturally occurring that could have caused that. So it's a nightmare for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with that, we better get ourselves off to the break at the bottom of the hour, and we'll be back on the other side with our guest, Joe Montez.
Yeah, we got some questions in the chat room that we'll need to go over. So if you want to call in after that, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
I'm sitting in the railway station, got a ticket for my destination. On a tour of one night stands, my suitcase and guitar in hand, and every stop is neatly planned for a poet and a one-man band. Homeward bound, I wish I was homeward bound. Where my thoughts escaping home, where my music's playing home, where my love lies waiting silently for.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California. That includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a veteran-owned business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
For the past 17 years, the Shasta Land Trust has served our community by conserving significant places in far northern California that protect water quality, working agricultural ranches, and wildlife habitat. The Shasta Land Trust invites you to its annual Wild Ways kickoff on Saturday, February 27th. Join us to support local land conservation. You will be treated to delicious food featuring Prather Ranch beef, local wines, and craft brew. Visit the website at shastalandtrust.org or call the office at 241-7886. The Shasta Land Trust, protecting the places people love for future generations to enjoy.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. We're still delivering kerosene all over in the mountains and red diesel. Looks like winter's here to stay for a while, so keep those tanks full. We have Clear Pearl for all the portable heaters. If you're still cutting wood, we have the ethanol-free 93, bar oil for the chainsaws, and Opti two-cycle oil. Johnny has two more used heaters in and rebuilt ready to go. If you're thinking about upgrading or a new heater, give us a call for a free estimate. On propane, we have the exchange program on the bottles, and we can also fill the forklift tanks, and we have those for sale. Northern Lights Energy, stop in and let us show how our heaters and on-demand water heaters can save you money. Also, the Sierra Cascade Logging Conference is coming to town again at the Shasta District Fairgrounds, February 11th, 12th, and 13th. Free admission to the public, so come on down and bring the kids. Northern Lights Energy, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at megastarfinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 3044.
CareNet Pregnancy Center of Northern California is hosting a community-wide free event on Friday, March 4th at Redding Christian Fellowship Church from 6 to 8:30. Join us for a beautiful evening of worship, presentations from our team, client stories, an open mic for Q&A, as well as a call to action. If you have a heart for celebrating life in our community, we'd love for you to partner with us at this event. Please RSVP at carenetnorcal.org/upcomingevents. Call 530-246-7075.
Charlie Brown, Snoopy, and the whole Peanuts gang are coming to Turtle Bay. Starting February 5th, Peanuts Naturally will bring Peanuts comic strips, videos, and objects and interactive stations to Turtle Bay. Learn how Charles Schulz explored the natural world through the Peanuts and see what kind of misadventures the gang gets into. Presented by Record Searchlight and Dennis and Cheryl Bambauer, and organized by the Charles M. Schulz Museum. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore with the NorCal Sports Hour. Tune in every Tuesday at 6 here on KCNR 1460 for all things Warriors, Kings, A's, Giants, Niners, and Raiders, as well as all your local high school standouts. Get your NorCal Sports Fix every Tuesday at 6 on the NorCal Sports Hour here on KCNR 1460 and KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, we welcome Rick Bassetti, general manager of the Colt 45s, that college baseball team that plays 42 games during the summer, raising money for so many different charities. Find out about the golf tournament with the retired baseball stars. This and what happened in the South Carolina primaries. All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Long distance and over 30 free calling features. No contracts, no taxes, no hidden fees.
One, two, three, go.
Welcome back to Sovereign Minds and our guest, Joe Montez.
Yeah,
we've got all kinds of questions flowing here in the chat room, but before we get to those, we do have a caller on the line. Lori, are you there?
Good morning, Lori.
Yes, good morning, everyone, and good morning, Joe. I'm glad you could be a part of this discussion. A lot of us are very curious of people that want to claim to have a different stance and an angle and that they're going to do something different, and I appreciate your ambition and even wanting to run for office.
Thank you, Lori.
You bet, Joe. I met you at the Tea Party the other night and wanted to kind of follow up with your commentary and dialogue on farming and the drought and weather and so forth. Many of us saw the article that was there at the Tea Party on fracking and how it's kind of a largely unstudied practice. I guess there's five oil fields. The safety long-term studies aren't there, and they've already been doing this on apparently almonds, pistachio, and citrus. And I heard about this a few months back in Chico. They were already saying that this particular practice is being done. And so I'm kind of my question for you is how do you foresee something like this issue combined with the drought that is possibly geoengineered? And we're being sprayed upon, and the pH of the soil is being contaminated. The bees are dying off with aluminum. The precipitant snow and rain is being affected with these heavy metals. So it's kind of a global question, and I do have something to ask you after you answer where you see some of this on what's called the climate mafia. And I have a quick list of who's in that.
Okay.
So,
well, thank you, Lori.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, after studying up a little bit on Agenda 21 and realizing that the goal is to reduce significant amounts of population, I would still like to have, this is the judge part of me, I'm a former judge, and I'm a person that wants to have information. I want to receive as much information as I can and kind of understand this issue better. But if after the thorough investigation, there is evidence that, you know, contaminants are being placed in our environment, in our water, for what nefarious purpose, I would want to know. I think you can probably get to the bottom of those kinds of questions. I'm absolutely opposed to those types of things being used to destroy people. I mean, I just think that if that is a practice that's happening, and I don't know yet at this point if it is, it obviously has to stop. It's horrific. It's destroying people's lives, it's destroying our ability to survive, and maybe it meets the Agenda 21 issue. I'm not sure.
I appreciate your tenacity in looking at that. It takes a pretty brave and courageous person to keep digging further and further, because at some point you'll come across the individuals that are called whistleblowers, and we know what happens to some of those folks. Very unfortunate and lethal endings for some of these individuals. And it's not just what I've been describing here and other people and callers and those on the chat room, but, I mean, this is the whole GMO, geoengineering. Anything geo or technology is not really in our favor. Smart anything is making us really reject that word. The vaccination issues, I mean, you talked about the Common Core thing earlier with Red and Lyndia. Maybe at some point in your research along the way, and I come across what's called Climate Mafia, and there's about 20 organizations that have already had their agreements, their deals, and whatnot, and they start with the Department of Agriculture, Commerce, Defense, Energy, Human Services, NOAA, Department of Transportation. You're probably aware of the CARB issues, NASA. We have just on and on. The UN, the FAA. Again, we're getting into the crops and the planes and jets and other components. If you just want to Google climate mafia, you'll see this just painstaking list of agencies that are supposed to be protecting us, and we're kind of seeing that we're not getting anywhere, and we're called left issues, or fill in the blank with any other nasty remark to marginalize those of us that are questioning.
Well, without knowing as much about this issue as I will, I will state the notion of agencies designed to protect us, I completely would reject that, because I just don't think that's real.
Right. I have a...
Okay.
Thank you, Lori, for calling in.
Thank you,
one of the questions pertaining to this was about how do you think you could stop the water being shipped? I mean, what is your... do you have a solution or something in mind with that?
Well, you know, these transfers are in place. There's a 10-year transfer program of surface water I mean, so what's happening, as I mentioned earlier, is that there are certain farmers that have access to surface water that are actually involved in sales through their water districts. That practice, you know, since it's a natural resource for all of us, and since what, I mean, that practice is in and of itself, you know, somewhat harmful. But let's just say that that was okay. What's not okay is then they're going into the limited supply of groundwater and pumping
yep.
what they need. So, I mean, I think that that's a natural resource that belongs to all of us, and we shouldn't have a few that are profiting because of it.
Don't believe
absolutely.
In putting the meters on our wells?
And the answer to our water issues in California is not disenfranchising our cousins to the south. It's not driving them out of their farms and their ranches. It's expanding our capabilities in a way that's beneficial and productive to everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Last thing I want is a war between farmers. I mean, you can't blame them.
No.
I mean,
no.
They have access to the water and they can grow crops that compete. Well, you know, why wouldn't you? So it's incumbent upon us that have those resources to be good stewards of them.
Right. Yeah, and how would it speak to our character if our greatest desire was to visit the evil upon our neighbors that has fallen us?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, truly.
Right.
Yeah.
And I wanted to touch on some of the things that Lori brought up with the environmental movement. It's something that we've taken to calling gangrene, is because the environmental movement, there very definitely is government agencies and government officials that are involved in using the environmental agenda to manipulate it for their own benefit and the benefit of their campaign contributors. And that is especially ripe here with Jerry Brown in the state of California.
Yes. Yes. I mean, their agenda is very clear. I mean, they want to remove a lot of population because Mother Earth is much more important than any living creature on it, including us, and probably especially us. So,
yep.
You know, I mean, we are the stewards of the land. The land is not the steward of us. And so these are the kinds of practices that are maiming our businesses, that are destroying the economy, and we have to push back on that aggressively. Again, it's not enough to just check the right box. You just have to be active in the war. For the congressman or the congresswoman who occupies that seat, they need to be in that district. They have two-thirds of their time available to do that, and they need to be aggressively representing and working hard on behalf of that district, not waiting for things from Washington to come, because that's never going to happen.
Or what does come from Washington isn't anything good right at this point.
Certainly not salvation.
That's for sure. Okay, so we have some questions in the chat room. One has to do with immigration. And I guess you were on Free Fire with Carl, and you made a comment in the effect that that immigration would collapse the economy. And the chat room person, Jimmy, wants to know if you could answer that question more or explain it in more detail, what you meant by that.
Sure. Jimmy, thank you for giving me the opportunity. As I believe most of the listeners here, and certainly those at the town hall meeting of sorts heard the other night, I am in favor of building a wall because you have to stop the flow of illegal immigrants and those that cannot be carefully and fully vetted that may intend harm to our citizens. And the wall, the barrier, is the only way to stop the incoming flow. We know that just not having a barrier and putting people on the other side of the wall, in one instance, five times for the guy that killed Kate Steinle, there has to be a barrier. So that's the first thing. Then you take all of the obvious, these drug dealers, these criminals, those that are doing nothing except usurping, you know, benefits at our expense. They have to go on the other side of that wall. When you're dealing with the rest of those that are here actively working, I say you look at Americans first that need those jobs, that will take those jobs. A lot of construction jobs fall into that, but many others. We have to take care of our American citizens first before we, you know, do anything for illegal immigrants. Place all of them on the other side of the wall. But let's just assume there's a few million left over. Even though law and order says you broke our rules and you need to go on the other side of that wall, if you took those 2 million people all at once and you don't have anybody to step in, because remember, we've already filled those jobs that are desired by and fit for the American citizens, if all you have left is in the 2 million is those that have entered illegally and you remove them, it will collapse the economy because the work of those companies that needs to be done can't be done. That's the collapse. But even then, and I don't favor amnesty, they have to pay a penalty for violating our laws. They are not eligible for any form of benefits for a minimum of 5 years or until or unless they become citizens. And their taxes, maybe for the first time, are accruing, and they're helping to pay for the maintenance of that wall.
Well, that's myself. One of my biggest questions is, why is our immigration system in this country so broken that it takes hundreds of thousands of dollars and years upon years to become a citizen and do it the proper way, whereas you are rewarded for doing it illegally and doing it the wrong way? We're duplicitous in the problem itself because we've allowed this system to manufacture. And I am all for immigration myself. I happen to think one of the best things for America is more Americans. What could you do to help expedite the immigration system?
Well, again, in addition to that wall, I would have to have parity in the numbers. So if we have, say, South America overrepresented by 2 million people, for example, and I know there's many other countries involved, but just as an easy example, I would not open those gates for those countries until the numbers reach parity so that we can finally catch up. That's the goal, is finally catch up so that we don't have situations where we're dealing with this 2 million or so that's left here for long. I mean, we'll work those numbers down. But you really have to focus on those that are maybe even admitted legally, but then they overstay their visas. You have to go after them, too, and you have to have the will to go after them. You have to actually do something about this, and with the erection of the wall, you can take those people when you actively hunt them down for violating our laws and put them on the other side of the wall.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, I don't know how much blame you can lay on someone for upending their entire lives and seeking a better life for themselves and their children and better opportunities in another country. I mean, that's a very difficult and a very brave thing to do.
Yeah, it's a failure of our leadership. It's for the same reasons that the southern farmers aren't to blame for taking our water. Our southern neighbors aren't to blame for taking our jobs. This leadership in place, the do-nothing Congress, the one party that exists there, because I can't tell left from right anymore, they have failed, and that's why we have all of these problems.
Yeah, and it's back to us. We need to be the stewards of our own country, and we've been lacking in that department
for
a long time.
We need to accept the responsibility.
Yeah, it's our fault.
Own shoulders.
It's our own fault. And with that, we have Jimmy from Reading on the line. He still has some questions about immigration. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
We're doing good.
You know, I think that Mr. Montes is a good guy, and I am agreeing with a lot of the stuff he's saying. But the thing about immigration and with these people who are here illegally, the only thing I can think of that the average citizen that really needs a job doesn't want to do is farm labor, because that really is very physically, that's a hard job and it doesn't pay very well. But you got all these other jobs that these illegals are taking, like busboys, cooks, hotel maids, stuff like that, that the American people, most of them would be more than happy to have a job like that. And I've done busboy stuff and a lot of jobs like that when I was in high school. And they're taking jobs away from high school kids doing that. And then that being said, I've done construction for 25 years. And these people are coming in and taking all these high-paying jobs. I've seen people lose their jobs because these guys will come in and do it for half the price. Yeah. And it just seems that the people that are for this kind of amnesty have never had to worry about somebody taking their job.
So I think, Jimmy, you and I are actually saying the same thing, because whatever that number is, you know, I mean, the Americans need to come first. Our citizens need to be protected. However many jobs that is, those that occupy those jobs that are here illegally need to go. If at the end of it there isn't any disparity, then there's no issue. I'm only saying that if there was a significant number, that if you remove them, it would crush the economy. I don't think you want the economy to fail. It's already...
Right. Well, I'm not into economics, but I kind of disagree with you about that, because the only industry I would really see that would be, that would collapse, would be the farming industry of the harvest and the growing of, you know, these crops.
Would you agree that that's an important industry?
But what other industry would collapse?
Let's just stick with the one that what you and I can agree would collapse. Do you think it's an important enough industry to that we don't want it to?
I totally agree with you that, mm-hmm. you know, if you give these people visas to do those kind of jobs for farm work and stuff, you know, that's one thing. But, you know, them, I don't know, you just seem to say the whole economy is going to collapse, and it's just, you know.
Well, I don't know what the end number is. I don't think anybody knows how many jobs are out there that Americans would want and take. If it was 100%, that's great. I don't have a problem putting every single person over on the other side of the wall, because I am in favor of taking care of American workers first. The only caveat, and I think, you know, we're actually saying the same thing, since neither you nor I want our economy to fail, if that was going to happen, then the only thing I would say is we just need to protect that from happening. But if it works out that we have enough workers to step up, heck, I'm really happy about that. I don't have any problem with putting people over on the other side of the wall that are occupying those jobs, Jimmy.
But
okay, well, that's okay. But I do like what you're saying about getting the drug dealers and all that stuff out. And you might want to comment. I'm going to get off the air because I'm taking up so much time. But maybe about the illegal prisoners that are here. So it was good talking to you, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Jimmy. Do you want to address those questions again about the inmates and the illegal inmates and what we're going to do about it?
We should not be providing any level of services for people here. We need to send them on the other side of the wall and stop spending money in any form for their care and benefit, because they're here illegally.
That is true. And I kind of want to address a couple things. So you guys were talking about the economy, if the economy is going to fail. And we can go back and forth on that. But we see it collapsing all around us. Mm-hmm. And we know that we're not shielded from the economy collapsing. Mm-hmm. And if we don't have anything in our tool belt to help us when it does collapse, we're going to be in bad shape.
Yeah. Here's the way I think that we push against that. Part of what I talked about with the trade deficits, if you just brought parity, and in other words, you said to countries, you can't bring into our country and sell
right.
goods more than we can sell to yours. That move in and of itself, according to a lot of economists, will create millions of jobs, 5-6 million or more, because the American entrepreneur will step in and say, hey, there's a shortage of goods being provided here. This is how I'm going to make some money. And then we go ahead and allow them, we accommodate them by unwinding these burdensome regulations
yeah.
and make it easier for the new businesses to start up. You're going to see a tremendous change in the economy then. There will be a lot more jobs, a lot more people employed.
Yeah.
And how do you respond when you are actively attacked by multinational corporations that are benefiting from that, when you are attacked by your own party because you're going against the grain, when you're attacked on the news as a radical isolationist because you think that America should be protected?
Because I have a mandate. I look out for the interest of the people of the 1st Congressional District. I think my constitutional duty requires that is my client, and that is who I'm going to advocate for. I don't work for the party. I certainly don't adhere to the establishment mentality that is in Washington, D.C. They have formed together left and right to destroy this nation. They have led us to the brink of ruin, and they have destroyed our standing in the world. And I say I don't care about them, and possibly the hundreds of new congressional people that come in with me, we will be able to stand up and say, we don't adhere to you. Mitch McConnell's of the world, you're not our bosses. You don't have greater seniority than us, and you don't tell us what to do on behalf of our constituents in the 1st Congressional District or beyond.
And that's what it's going to take.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because we are on shaky ground. I mean, with this country is on life support economically right now, you know, despite all the rainbows and unicorns advertised by the mainstream media and you know, anybody that believes we're at 4.5% unemployment is insane. You know,
they don't have a brain.
And what kind of things can you do to help us get back the true drivers of the American economy, the manufacturing, the harvesting of resources, things like that? And do you think that you will be able to find other congressmen that are willing to work with you on that?
I do. I think that this wave will sweep in a lot of like-minded people, and I am very interested in building a coalition with those people because we have a unique moment in history to be able to do that, given the mood of the country right now. I also think that people need to hear from everybody interested. I think that this notion that you shouldn't challenge an incumbent because, you know, they're the incumbent, it's good to have competition, and it's good for people to hear. And there have been attempts by members of Doug LaMalfa's staff to prevent my voice from being heard, most recently at the Lincoln-Reagan dinner, and other attempts that have served to silence voices. I think that when voices are silenced, choices are silenced, and I think that we need to stand up against those things, let people run. You know, lower the barriers for people to run, because we might have some great leaders among us that can't afford a $500,000 to $1 million campaign. All of this reform is necessary at once to make these choices meaningful for people.
Okay, and with that, we're winding down. We're almost out of time here. We want to thank you for coming in and sharing with us, and we would love to have you back in the future and go over some more topics, because, of course, we ran out of time and didn't meet all the questions that were asked in the chat room. So thank you again for coming in and sharing with us. And
thank you for having me.
You bet.
And we will see you on the other side, and our next guest will be the Lady Federalist.
Yep, and we have another special guest with that one. So this has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
This is KCNR Shasta Reddy.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Donald Trump leading the field after two Republican presidential primaries and a caucus, but will the party support him if he wins the nomination?
If the delegates, get accumulated in such a way that any one of these candidates becomes a nominee, it's our job to support that nominee, and we will. So, we're prepared to support whoever the nominee becomes.
That's Rice Priebus, the chairman of the RNC, on ABC TV's This Week program. Trump is leading in the delegate count. The billionaire businessman hauled in all of South Carolina's 50 delegates in yesterday's primary, giving him a total of 67. Senator Ted Cruz has 11 delegates, Senator Marco Rubio, 10. Six people are dead following a series of what police say are random shootings in the Kalamazoo, Michigan area. Police say the suspect taken into custody, soon to be charged, is 45-year-old Jason Dalton of Kalamazoo County. He has no known criminal history. Police say they found weapons in his vehicle after a search. The shootings happened around a Cracker Barrel restaurant, a car dealership, and a residential complex. A woman and a 14-year-old girl are in the hospital. They're adding up the damage to Fiji in the South Pacific after a fierce cyclone brought 177-mile-per-hour winds to the region. At least six people are dead from yesterday's storm. Hundreds of homes are collapsed. A curfew continues with police empowered to make arrests without a warrant. Officials are trying to establish communications and road access to the hardest-hit areas of Fiji. Edward Snowden says he would entertain the idea of extradition to the U.S., in return for a guarantee of a fair trial. Snowden says he has asked for a guarantee of a trial where he can make a, quote, public interest defense and then have jurors decide his case. The former NSA contractor in 2013 leaked details of a secret government eavesdropping program. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Two little tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair feel and look thicker and fuller. Guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women. And now a 90-day supply of Viviscal is offered in your area risk-free, plus free shipping. Call 800-539-1900. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. You'll love your hair growth results, guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective.
effective. It's recommended by top doctors. Here's Dr. Grant Stevens, board-certified plastic surgeon.
I feel confident recommending Viviscal to women with hair loss, thinning hair, or even dry or brittle hair. It's 100% drug-free, and it's backed by years of clinical research.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls now gets a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call now, 800-539-1900. 800-539-1900. That's 800-539-1900.
Troubles in India as thousands of members of an underprivileged community in the north continue to protest to demand government benefits. The more than 16 million people in India's capital are facing a water shortage as a result of the violent demonstrations, which have left at least 10 people dead. The protesters have damaged equipment that brings water from the Munak Canal in Haryana State to New Delhi, depleting the capital's water supply. New Delhi gets about 60% of its water from the neighboring state. At least 10 people have been killed in firing on protesters by Indian security forces since the week-long protests turned violent on Sunday. Mauritania's defense minister is vowing that his country's peacekeepers will never be implicated in the kind of sex abuse allegations that have rocked Central African Republic's UN mission in recent months. He made his remarks during a ceremony today before the deployment of 225 Mauritanian soldiers to the CAR. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. A court-appointed mediator in New York says Argentina has reached a settlement with bondholders seeking more than $110 million of the $10 billion being pursued by investors.
The deal between Argentina and Capital Markets Financial Services was small compared with a $1.1 billion deal announced 2 weeks ago that resolved claims by two of the six largest bondholders. Mediator Daniel Pollack says this latest agreement fits in the framework of the $6.5 billion Argentina estimates it'll cost to resolve all claims. The claims result from bondholders that went to court rather than trade their bonds years ago at steep discounts.
Correspondent Jeremy House, Argentina has faced mounting bills since it defaulted in 2001 on $100 billion of debt. Today is Sunday, February the 21st, a birthday for a number of notable people, including actor Gary Lockwood, who is 79 years old. Actor-director Richard Baymer is 77. More on these stories at townhall.com.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight. Somebody's gotta
stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising 'cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
And we're back. Sovereign Minds, we're in our third hour and we're moving right along. We're rolling right along. We have our guest for the next hour on the line. We have Lady Federalist.
Just one thing Joe wanted us to pass along as he was leaving the building here. He wanted to mention his website, MontezForCongress.com. That's M-O-N-T-E-S, MontezForCongress.com.
Thanks for that, Bob. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that. Yeah, we didn't get that in there at the end. We were just cooking right along. So, again, we have a couple guests. We have Lady Federalist on the line, and she's got somebody else with her. He's commander of Lone Star Knight, Sean Watkins. I think I said that right. So we are going to
Watson.
Be... I'm sorry? Watson.
Sean Watson.
I'm sorry, Watson. I appreciate
that,
Lady Federals. And we're going to be talking about the Red River and land grabs and different things like that. Good morning to you guys.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
You betcha. You want to give us a little bit of background about each one of you, Lady Federalist and Sean?
Okay, I'll go ahead and start. My
nom de guerre or nom de plume is the Lady Federalist, and my actual name is Charlotte Sines. I go by the name of Char, if that will make it easier for folks. I started my journey of patriotism or being a constitutionalist a long time ago when I joined the Air Force, and my father brought me along with understanding what's going on with our government. And then just recently, in September, I launched my page on Facebook, The Lady Federalist, and began to write about the various usurpations and egregious overreaches of our federal government, and began a really in-depth study of the Constitution with the intention of teaching others how our Constitution is being ignored and how our government has completely overflown its constitutional bounds. And, of course, most recently with what occurred in Oregon, I was able to be made even more aware of the various agencies that are unconstitutional to begin with and how badly and deeply ingrained into our daily lives they are.
Yes, they are.
And being in Texas and being associated with Sean Watson, I'm vaguely familiar with what's going on at the Red River, but just what the mainstream media puts out there. He himself has done quite a bit of research into it because he's truly a Texian at heart. And so he does a lot of research as to what goes on into Texas. And when you invited me last week to come on and discuss what was going on in Texas with regard to the land grabs, I knew that I had to bring my friend Sean.
And we appreciate that. Sean, you want to give us a little bit of background, how you got started in digging into the Red River?
Yes, ma'am, sure. I've been up to the Red River several different times over the years. I'm actually about three counties away from the Red River, just south of it. And a little bit of my experience, I launched Lone Star Nights back in June of 2014, shortly after our May 2014 event, which it was several hundreds of people that showed up, including the Libertarian candidate for Governor Kathy Glass, which she spoke on up there. I've been involved in the prepper movements and militia volunteer movements for several years now. About a decade now. And I actually took, back in May 2014, which was up to date, the biggest event on the Red River so far. I took 28 state militia up there. Very good numbers, in fact. Down here in Texas, we're not like Oregon or Nevada. We're a very highly Republican and very highly conservative state.
Well, there's a lot of that in... There's a big disconnect in Oregon and California, especially between the rural areas and the population centers. Whereas if you went county by county, California would be overwhelmingly considered conservative, whereas the lesser counties and the populated areas are the more liberal. so you have a large disconnect just within the state machine and how it functions.
I would agree with that. We have our really big liberal centers like Austin and Houston down here, so I can definitely relate to that.
So, and can you explain to us some of the things that are going on out there in the Red River Valley, because it's similar to a lot of other cases and things that we've seen going on all over the West with BLM and illegal land seizures and things like that?
Yes, sir. It really kicked off in the 1930s when Texas and Oklahoma had some disputes on the Red River regarding oil fields and everything, the oil field pump jacks in particular, which the Supreme Court, in fact, had to get involved in that. And some of these pump jacks are, only maybe 100 foot away from the actual Red River water. They're very, very close. And so basically what we're dealing with is that it's a 116-mile stretch is what it is. One of the biggest landowners down there that you can probably look up is a man by the name of Ken Adderholt, in which his house is actually sitting within that half a mile that the BLM is trying to claim. Now, since the Supreme Court back in the 1930s already established what oil pump jacks were on Texas side and what oil pump jacks were on Oklahoma side, and like I said, there I could literally throw a pebble, you know, from the pump jacks to the Red River into the water. Okay, we're talking about really close. But the BLM, they're trying to say that it extends a half a mile instead of what all us Texans always thought was just the Red River itself. You know, Texas has issued countless deeds, and these deeds are decades on decades old. All these landowners here have, you know, been paying property taxes on their land the entire time.
Well,
well now
actually,
BLM is trying to come in with, you know, their tyrannical government and trying to say, no, you know, you don't own this land.
Okay.
They're trying to kick people off the property.
So, in saying that, they have purchased their property outright many years ago, correct? When you say that they're paying property tax, they're not leasing the property from BLM, correct?
No, they're not leasing it. Like I said, the BLM owns the, basically, supposedly owns the river, which if we look at Article 1, Section 8, Clause 13, that shouldn't happen either.
Yeah, they're not allowed to own anything.
Exactly, and you know, our governor, Greg Abbott, Ken Paxton, Ted Cruz included, they have all basically said, get the heck out of here, you know, to the BLM. So we do have our own Texas government on our side.
Which which is well within the right of the sovereign state of Texas to exercise that power and remove federal government and control and authority there. And what has been the response of the BLM and the federal government to that?
Well, it's legal mumbo jumbo right now. All these cases are still, for instance, Wichita County, Clay County, all in that area. They're basically trying to go through their legal mumbo-jumbo, if you will. And, you know, right now the private landowners are trying to fight it. It's still in the legal aspect. The problem is, as well, is BLM's wanting to send all these surveyors, archaeologists, all these ridiculous people, you know, out of our taxpayer dime, of course.
Of course.
To basically mark the land. What I believe, and this is merely just my opinion, is that the BLM is trying to get the oil resources upon the Red River.
Weird.
I think that is because the Bureau of Land Management, they're part of the Department of the Interior.
That's absolutely true. And a quick question, the private property that you're talking about, does their property line actually extend to the river?
Yes, their property line lines are right there on the Red River.
So based upon precedent, and that actually even predates this country and the Constitution and continued as precedent under common law, when it came to deeds, when your property line was a river, your property line was to extend to the middle of that river and was to be placed at the middle of the river, even if the river shifted.
Correct.
Yes, and that's the thing, too, is the Red River does shift dramatically. And because it's basically a bunch of sandbank, you know, and it floods on a regular basis. And it might shift over a period of a decade or maybe two decades, 40, 50 feet. And the interesting thing I do want to note as well is that Texas and Oklahoma as states get along with each other great in this aspect.
Except
you know,
when it comes to the Red River Shootout.
The federal government to be involved.
Well, and that is of a great concern, is when you have two states that are willing to work in cooperation with each other, and yet the federal government still seeks to interfere in that process. There's no need for them to arbitrate that or be involved at all.
And also, like when I went down there in May of 2014, we had people from Oklahoma coming over too, and they were running their own rally at the same time. Interesting enough. You know, and also one of the biggest, because I've read the documents, the legal documents on the Bureau of Land Management, them trying to claim the Red River and a half a mile in on that 116-mile stretch. The interesting thing about it is they have tried to say that it was part of the Louisiana Purchase, which is incorrect, because our state of Texas fought and you know a revolution for independence against Santa Ana.
Yeah.
So it completely throws out that it was ever part of the Louisiana Purchase.
Yeah, the Louisiana Purchase never included the at that time Mexican territories.
Exactly.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
So they obviously, one of their biggest arguments, they don't even know what they're talking about.
Well,
they don't know basic geographics.
My question is even if it had been part of the Louisiana Purchase, which it obviously was not, but even if it had been, how would that give them precedent or legality to seize that land?
Well, interesting enough, all you have to do is look at Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17.
Yeah.
That's really all you got to do.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it goes a little bit deeper than that.
Yes, it does.
Because when you look at, give me a moment as I pull up my reference here. When you look at Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2, where it says the Congress shall have power to dispose of and make all needful rules and regulations respecting the territory or other property belonging to the United States. Since these areas that were at one time part of the Louisiana Purchase and are no longer territories and are now separate sovereign individual state nations, nothing in this Constitution shall be so construed as to prejudice any claims of the United States or of any particular state, which is the rest of that clause.
Absolutely.
So they don't have any legal standing. Once a territory or a portion of the territory or holding that has been purchased, such as that which was purchased during the Louisiana Purchase, has become a state, it then falls into state sovereignty.
Yeah.
And that's
so they don't
true.
Have and any legal standing or any legal claim.
And even during the term that land falls underneath of the rule of a territory, the federal government is no way enabled to use that land for their own use except to maintain it and hold it in trust for the future establishment of a state.
And by the consent and purchase of that state, that they can basically put, you know, military bases, ports, so forth, you know, small portions. But they can't, and we're being faced with this not only in Texas, but all over the, you know, western part of the United States as well, that they have no legal right to any of this land.
Yeah, and it's rampant throughout the West, and it's becoming more aggressive and more oppressive every day.
I believe it's because of resources. That's my opinion.
Well, when you...
Well,
when
Sean,
you...
I believe it was... I believe it's more than opinion, because I've been getting, through my page, the Lady Federalist, and other social media that I have out there as Lady Federalist. It's pretty easy to find me. I'm getting reports that I go through and vet from from followers and other users, that there is actual geological surveys out there from the USGS that there's plenty of uranium as well as coal, gold, copper, silver, and even oil that are on these lands or under these lands, however you want to phrase it, that are in, quote, trust by the Department of the Interior and that are being snatched up and controlled even just ever so strongly every day by the Department of the Interior through their various agencies.
That seems to be becoming a common factor with them, with the minerals and oil and stuff that is on these lands.
Well, let's just stop pussyfooting around about it and just bring the elephant in the room out. And the fact is that the federal government is seizing public lands as a securement of debt so that they can continue to print,
yes,
to print debt to float our economy.
Well, I think it's not necessarily even that. I think that they will continue to print. Because we are still the world's currency. Honestly, in my opinion, they're doing is making a contingency plan. I believe that they're making a contingency plan. Because we know that there ain't no gold in Fort Knox.
when you print that debt, you can actually not turn it into currency until someone purchases that debt and secures it with something of wealth with an expectation of a repayment of that debt with interest. And we have gotten to the point that we are so not fiscally viable that the countries that are purchasing our debt are now requiring a securement of collateral, and that is in lieu of federal lands, which is why they're locking up these lands, is to secure payments on our debt.
Yeah, well, we don't have a currency anymore.
No.
We just have paper.
Right.
Correct.
It's all fiat currency. I often reference people back to what happened to the Deutschmark in World War II, where in the matter of hours, it would take, you know, what would once be a couple handfuls of Deutschmarks to purchase a loaf of bread. By the end of the day, it would take a wheelbarrow full of Deutschmarks.
Correct.
And the German people literally began wallpapering their homes and plugging holes in their walls with the Deutschmarks.
Yeah, and if we're not careful, that's exactly where we're headed now.
Yes.
In the United States.
It is possibly where we're headed.
Paper is meaningless. They're going after physical asset. It's pretty simple, really.
Well, the other big one that we've been facing out here out west, and especially in California, is this president has gone insane with the National Monuments Act. He is locking up millions upon millions of acres that are resource-rich areas. I mean, he recently seized the San Gabriel Mountains out here in California, which are the headwaters for some 40% of the L.A. Basin's water district. He seized the Snow Mountain Berryessa area, which is headwaters for the Greater Bay Area. He has been all over this country locking things up under the National Monuments Act as well.
Yes.
Well, it's basically bringing into international law, a.k.a. the U.N., if you will, on our lands.
And I need to add something here. This is something that's very important, and it's something that Jefferson mentioned quite a few times with regard to law, and it's supported by Article 6, Clause 2 of the Constitution. Any law that is in contravention to the Constitution, whether it be local, state, or federal law, if it is not in line with the Constitution, it is null and void on its face and must be ignored, not just by the populace, but by the several sovereign states themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Nullification is not just with a jury. Nullification is a duty of every citizen and every state and their state legislators to control and rein in the rogue, wicked federal government that we now have that has overflowed the banks of the Constitution that's supposed to keep it in check, because they're not going to keep themselves in check. Expecting the fox to guard the hen house is ridiculousness.
Exactly. Yeah. And the problem that we're facing, you know, y'all are awake, I'm awake to this fact, but
a big majority of Americans are not. They don't even know that that exists.
No, but it's up to us to educate them, and we need to do more of it and get this information out to the public and to those people.
And that is true. And yesterday evening, I posted an article by a different author that I happened to find on Facebook, and you can find it on the Lady Federalist. Let me see if I can locate it so I don't misquote the title of the article. Virus detected, the virus is here. Anti-government, another taboo label to manipulate the masses, public opinion, and quell protests. The author, James Sanders, brings some excellent points to the table with regard to essentially 91% of the population of the United States is dissatisfied with the government just based on a 9% approval rating of government. Okay, so when you take that line of logic, if only 9% of the population is satisfied with its government, that leaves 91% dissatisfied. That crosses all political lines from one side to the other, all across the bell curve. The vast majority of Americans are dissatisfied with government, which leads into this necessity to cross all bridges that have been placed in front of us for the last, some argue last 7 years, I argue decades, of our federal government dividing us amongst party lines, racial lines, socioeconomic lines, ad nauseum. We have to, as patriots, as people, constitutionalists, people who believe in the Constitution and what the Republic was meant to be, we have to reach across these lines. And we have to do so diplomatically. I don't say PC, but diplomatically. We need to reach to them because everybody, I've contended this for a long time, but I just couldn't put it into words like Mr. Sanders did. I have contended that all people recognize that something is wrong. They just don't know what it is, and so they reach for what is comfortable. That's why young people are jumping on the Bernie Sanders bandwagon. They know something is wrong, and they see that as something that is a solution because they've been indoctrinated in the socialist school system.
That's absolutely
true. I have to agree
true.
With that, yeah.
You
that's
know,
one
the,
of our biggest obstacles.
I would like to add that it's not just decades. I believe that it's been, you know, we lost our state sovereignty, more or less, pre-Civil War even. You know, most people, and I really do dislike these high school and college history books because it's based on propaganda and lies. You know, it really started back in the with the tariffs of the South back in the 1830s. You can look it up that President Andrew Jackson actually sent the entire United States Navy down to Charleston, South Carolina in 1832 to quell the riots because of these tax tariffs. And that was kind of really the launching point of when things started going wrong.
That's quite a while back.
Well, there is, Ed. And there's as you said, there's a lot of misinformation about what really led up to the Civil War and the occurrences of it, and you know the things in it. It was really the North was committing economic warfare against the South.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and they don't if they even teach any of that in school now.
And then when the South threatened to stop selling their commodities, which basically was King Cotton at the time, to the Yankee traders in the North to produce textiles, and threatened to start selling them abroad, is when you see the radicalism and really the war break out.
Precisely.
You know, it was
absolutely.
Yeah, with that, unfortunately, we're going to have to go to a break here at the bottom of the hour. And we'll be right
yeah,
on
we'll
back.
We'll come back, and I wanted to let the listeners know out there because do we have a phone line open, Bob?
Indeed, we do.
Okay, we still have a phone line open, so if you want to call in and speak with us or have a question or concern, give us a call 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
hope never to come back.
While most of Shasta County still has hours before their day begins, the bakery staff at Orchard Nutrition Center is wide awake and beginning their day. Each morning, they arise well before the dawn to start about their task of creating fresh, wholesome, nutritious baked items. Why do we do what we do? Sabrina, the Orchard Nutrition Center bakery manager, has been the culinary heartbeat of the bakery department since 2003. Sabrina, along with bakery clerk Kathleen, used the freshest ingredients available to create a variety of freshly baked breads, muffins, cookies, scones, and an abundance of baked gluten-free and vegan items every day. Great detail is taken to ensure that every item meets the strict Orchard Nutrition Center guidelines for taste, nutrition, and freshness. At Orchard Nutrition Center, our staff is like family, and our customers are our friends who come back again and again because we truly believe we're all in this together. We love seeing the smiles on our customers' faces. So when people ask, why do we do what we do? That's why. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. The ethanol-free 93 is ready for the lawnmowers and weed eaters and chainsaw folks, so come by and try it out. Cody says bring those barbecue bottles in and get them filled up, or we have the exchange program. We have another load of Clear Pearl come in for all the portable heaters and the red kerosene for the others. Our Toyo Tommy heaters and on-demand hot water heaters are being installed all the time by Johnny, so give him a call. Northern Lights Energy, for deliveries to homes, job site, and ranches. If you need it, we bring it, including bulk oil deliveries. In Corning, stop and see Robin. In Weaverville, get a hold of Joe. In Redding, the rest of the crew. Northern Lights Energy, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy. Welcome to Wellgate Sports Club. I'm Deanne Lawrence, your membership director. Every member of the Wellgate team have raised the bar to ensure that you, as a valued member, will experience high-end amenities and a quality of service that exceeds fitness industry standards. At Wellgate Sports Club, we understand that each member has unique fitness and lifestyle goals.
Hi, I'm Tina Brandt, Team Training Director. Wellgate Sports Club has implemented several small group training programs, including our popular saltwater aquatic group training, and now the TNT program, which offers the expertise and direction of a certified personal trainer without the expense of one-on-one personal training. All Wellgate Sports Club trainers are credentialed, experienced professionals who are committed to our members achieving their health and fitness goals. To inquire about Wellgate's small group training programs, please contact the Wellgate Fitness Director at 530-768-1205. Wellgate Sports Club, where you will experience exceptional every day.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Are you going to agree? Our freedoms are waning and we'll lose our liberty. Slipping one by one until there's nothing left to see. Are you willing to stand with me? Are you just going to let it be? The ranchers are first, but brother next it may be me. We all stand together or we'll hang separately. Are you going to the tree? Are you willing to be free? It won't get any easier to regain lost liberty. Strange things are happening in this land that once was free. So brother, I ask you, are you going to stand by me?
On that note.
Yep. And that really is the question, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. In so many ways.
Because we are. We're losing it step by step, hour by hour. We are losing what we have. And
yep.
we've lost so much already.
We're running out of time because we don't have too much more to lose. We really don't.
So. For those who are not familiar with that, that's a tribute that was put together by Lavoie Finicum's daughters.
Yes, it was. And that's a prime example of where we have a president who will bring into the White House rioters, looters, destroyers of things, and compliment them for the work and the destruction that they have sown, and then stand idly by while a good and peaceful man is murdered in cold blood.
Yep.
Are you guys there?
We're here. We're here, yes.
Yes, sir.
Well, I wanted to touch on something. Me and Lady Federals talked about a couple things, and not to totally change the subject, but we were talking about birth certificates and stuff, and she had some information that she wanted to get out over the air. So do you want to go ahead and talk about that?
What was it you were talking about? Refresh my mind. I've slept since
the
then.
Birth certificates? We were talking about Obama's birth certificate, and we were also talking about one of the candidates that's running for presidency.
Yes. That's right. The eligibility requirement for president.
Yes.
That's right. Okay. Yes, I've been doing some investigation on that, and I'm not the only one. Chris Ann Hall has done it. A writer by the nom de plume, Publius Hulda, has done some writing on it. And it, getting back to the actual intent and foundation of the Founding Fathers with regard to the term natural-born citizen, excuse me, and I wrote an article, I did a show Friday on my radio show with Block Talk Radio, The Lady Federalist with Shar Sinds, and my first hour I discussed it. And I brought it out to the forefront because it's very important that we vet our candidates. And Cruz, Rubio, Jindal, they're not eligible for president. They're not natural-born citizens according to the definition that was used at the time that the Constitution was written. And we can understand that definition very clearly by doing a couple of things. One, we need to look at the primary historical sources, and anyone who's ever studied history understands what that term means. Those who haven't, I'll explain. A primary historical source is a historical reference that was written by the people involved in that era or by others that were contemporary to that era. It can be a book, it can be a journal, it can be anything. But as long as it's contemporary to that era. Benjamin Franklin wrote a letter to a gentleman in France whose short name is Charles Dumas. It's much longer than that. And he was in that letter, he was thanking him for three copies of a work by Amer de Vittel called The Law of Nations. And at the time, that was considered to be the quintessential source and reference for natural law. And in book one of The Law of Nations, chapter 19, section 212, Vittel defines a natural-born citizen, or a native as he refers to them, he refers to them by both actually, as a person who is born in the country of two parents who are citizens of that nation. And so when you look at the current president and the three that are in question, Cruz, Rubio, and Jindal, none of them meet that standard. Rubio and Jindal, both of their parents were immigrants and not even naturalized at the time that they were born. And Ted Cruz only had one parent who was a citizen at the time of his birth. His father was here on a green card, for lack of a better term. I know it's got a different term, but that's what one understands it to be when he was born. But he was born in Canada and maintained dual citizenship. The other thing that you can do is just to do a linguistic comparison of the Constitution to itself. And by doing so, you take the first three articles and look at the requirements, the citizenship requirements for those three branches of government. President obviously says that you must be a natural born citizen or the first generation of patriots, the grandfather clause as it's referred to. For senators and representatives in the House, in Congress, one just simply has to be a citizen. It doesn't say natural born, it just says citizen. And then, of course, for Supreme Court justices, there's no citizenship requirement at all. So that is indicative that the founders not only expected that there would be a different class of citizenship amongst the population of the new republic, but also that they had distinct and different definitions. So combining all of this together, their very strong reliance upon Vattel's Law of Nations and their writing in the Constitution itself with specific language, they did not intend for legislation through the naturalization laws that are written. And that's key, naturalization laws. They never intended for that to amend or modify the Constitution. Modification and amendment of the Constitution has to occur through an Article 5. It doesn't occur through writing of legislation. So one can't change the requirements for the office of president by writing and relying upon naturalization law.
Yep.
Yeah, so. I 100% agree with you, and I've done my own research myself, just like you said. You know, it seems to me, and I've, questioned this for years and years, and it really came about when Barack Obama was running, that it seems to me that they changed the definition. It really does. You know, I've always, growing up and everything, I always said, I pretty much knew, natural born citizen. You know, both parents born in the United States, and here's the main reason why they did that, the founding fathers did that, is that way that anyone running for the presidency or becoming president doesn't have foreign interests. That is
correct.
The entire reason.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Allegiance to no other place. Yeah.
As if the fact that he's not a traitorous Muslim, anathema to everything this country stands for, is not enough.
Right.
I wasn't surprised when Barack Obama was elected the first time. I was flabbergasted that he was elected twice.
And with that, I guess we do have a caller on the line. We have Jessica. Good morning, Jessica. Good morning, Jessica.
Hello.
You have a question or comment? Do you want to chime in here?
Yes. Basically, what BLM is doing with the Red River is they're not only trying to take physical resources, but this is a major intimidation factor for the people themselves, the populace themselves, because it's not just at the Red River. Also, it's at Corpus Christi. BLM is trying to do a land grab and seize at Corpus Christi, at the northern end of Texas.
It's in the rangelands of Nevada. It's at Bunkerville. It's at Burns, Oregon. It's in Idaho. It's in Colorado. It's in Four Corners.
They're using flanking maneuvers and intimidation on the populace.
It is.
Yes, they are.
Endemic.
By the way, I just want to correct something. It's not actually down in Corpus. What she's referring to is in Galveston County on the Roller Pass.
Yes.
This is actually not the BLM. This is our own Texas state government under Guess who?
Ah.
George P. Bush.
My apologies.
Oh.
Jebby's baby.
Uh-huh. You got it.
Jebby's little boy.
It's yes, about the next generation of Bushes that are coming up in Texas.
That if they basically try to take the rollover pass, which has great fishing, it will economically kill that entire area.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it will.
And why are they looking to seize that land? Are there any plans to build, say, a refinery?
It's under the
Texas
Land Commission, and I don't know the exact reasons. I do know for a fact that the city council of Galveston area is going along with it because they have been intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
They basically agreed to it out of fear.
Yes.
Like, this is about 15 acres roughly, rollover pass. I've been down there many a times. I actually was born and raised out of the Houston area. And so I'm very familiar with that area as well. So they, most of them, you know, they are fishermen, you know, shrimp boats, for instance, all over that entire area.
And it's a beautiful area. George P. Bush,
what they're trying to do is more or less cut them off.
Mm-hmm.
From what the last talks I've had from people down in that area is that they will not comply. It is still in the legal perspective, just like the Red River regarding the BLM. All this stuff is still in the court systems. But I can tell you this, that these private citizens, my fellow Texans, they should not trust them in the court systems because they're completely corrupt, just as corrupt. These municipalities are just as corrupt as the District of Columbia itself.
And there's,
yeah,
there's
Sean might get offended by this. He's a native Texan. I am not. I'm here in the state under duress, and I'm not going into that because that's personal business. But I often refer to Texas as a
mini-D.C. Well, does it count that I was born in Texas, but I wasn't raised there for half my life?
But I do refer to Texas as a mini-D.C. I mean, if you go to the Capitol building, it looks, you know, it's fashioned to mm-hmm. look just like the one in D.C. So, you know, when you start copycatting, yeah, the copycatting just carries over. Lots of people refer to Texas as being the last bastion of hope and freedom, but not really.
I would have to agree with Lady Federalist. Life in Texas, born and raised. I do got to say, in my young 31 years of my age, I have witnessed plenty to say that it is a police state. And anymore, I believe that is anywhere, any state you go. I think the government, through our own taxes, you know, they tax us, but never represent us. And I believe that it's in every state anymore. That because it will just continue to feed and feed and feed and live off the taxpayer dime. And what we will have, if we don't already, is a complete Hamilton-style oligarchy.
And how they can feed is by the populace being willing to comply with anything they put across the board.
You should come
which is
that.
Actually one reason I called in, is because for things to change, we have to be willing to speak out and speak our minds. We can't just sit there and listen and go, oh, yeah, I agree, but I'm not going to call in. And I'm not going to be heard. We have to speak to be heard to bring any kind of change.
Well, that's you guys should.
Unfortunately, I do got to say this. Okay, Bundy Ranch, what happened in Nevada, Oregon, I believe in their causes. Of course I do. But
likewise.
Here's the problem. When you make a stand such as that, you have to continue that stand. One of the biggest things that I've really been speaking out, you know, to my fellow patriots here in Texas is that you cannot disperse. When you have a small army or whatever you want to call it, they're not gonna hit you. Whether it be BLM, FBI, ATF, take your pick, you know, because all these government, you know, jerks know each other anyway. So one of the things I'm really saying is that when you make a stand like that, and we probably will eventually at the Red River, you know, depending, you know, but we can't disperse. You cannot disperse.
Well, Sean, if
when you're going up against the federal government,
if you know, anything has been shown to us through Ruby Ridge, through Waco, through Burns, through the Four Corners Indian artifact investigation, the federal government will kill people willfully.
I remember the Four Corners Indian artifact investigation because if I remember correctly, I was living in Monticello, Utah, at that time, just a short distance from the Four Corners area.
Yes, and how many people know that the Indian artifact investigation was headed by Special Agent in Charge Greg Bretzing and BLM Agent Daniel P. Love, who were both in charge at Bunkerville and in Burns, Oregon? They're the same people.
I'll tell you something very sad. I know actually several private individuals that had found Indian artifacts that during the course of that investigation, many, many artifacts that private individuals owned wound up in the landfill just because out of fear.
Yeah.
And that's another reason why a lot of people will not take a stand is because of the fear and intimidation of government as a whole. I mean, see, the longer we drag this out, and I would like, you know, diplomacy to work. I just want my republic back. I want freedom. You know, simply put.
Well, Sean, just to make sure that you go into this eyes wide open, if you make a stand, you will take casualties from our government.
We do understand that.
Yes, I fully understand that. But the problem is, at this point, and I've seen it for, decades now, the problem is voting, protesting, writing letters to your congressman. You know, if you want to do that, good, awesome. But make no mistake, this government anymore only knows one thing. We saw it with Wolf Finnegan.
Yes, we did.
We've seen it in Waco.
Yep.
You know, we've seen it all over the country. They only respond and know violence. Unfortunately, you know, some people are questioning if this tyrannical government is as bad as King George III. No, they're far worse.
Yes. And if I may go ahead and throw something in there when it comes to fear, I'm facing a lot of personal, private issues. Not the least of which is facing imminent eviction from my home due to tyranny in Texas and tyranny through the Veterans Administration. And yet, I still get up every day, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn, don't misunderstand me, because I've got to deal with these personal issues, but I still get up every day and stand up and fight and speak and do what I do best, where my skill sets lie, on trying to get the truth out there, because the truth cannot be argued with. Attack me personally all you want. That's fine. I can handle it. I've got a thick skin. But the truth cannot be denied. The truth is the truth. And if I end up having to broadcast from an overpass, then that's what I'll do.
And that's what it's going to take.
We've got to get this out here.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's what it's going to take. And it has to be about the truth.
And you,
yes, it does.
And also, you just have to be properly armored, girded, and steeled for the fight.
And know what's right,
And you have to be prepared for whatever they are going to throw at you, because they're going to take everything and they're going to use everything against you, your personal life, everything that they can possibly use, twist, and corrupt.
They will.
That they can get their hands on to use against you. Yep. I know.
Yep.
I've had it done to me twice in my life already.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And also, I want to point out that, you know, the United States government anymore, you know, spits on our veterans. They really do.
Yes, they do.
Yet gives billions of dollars to our enemies. Okay? There's nothing. Remember, there's a big difference between legal and lawful. I just want to, you know, y'all to keep that in mind.
Legal is questionable. Lawful is what is good and honorable by moral rights.
Yeah. Legality has nothing to do with justice.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Well, unfortunately, we're winding down. We've got about a minute and a half here. Is there something that you guys want to get out there real quick before we get cut off?
I would. A lot of people, you know, around the country, and even a lot of people in Texas, think that Texas, the Patriot movement as a whole, is divided. I can assure you that it is not.
No.
I deal with multiple organizations on a daily basis. And I'm just telling you and reassuring people of Texas and the surrounding states that we are not divided. We are unified.
And there is one thing that I would
BLM,
like to say.
Come get some. In other
That's
words.
Right. Come and take it.
Amen.
There's one thing I would like to say. It's just to the regular people out there, wake up. This government is not your friend. They may give you free things, but that's exactly what Rome did to distract the mob from the impending threat of starvation.
Yep.
They are just blindsiding and distracting.
Yep.
They need to wake up and actually see the real problems at hand and the real threats that are imminent.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they're going to cut us off. Thank you very much, the both of you, Sean and Lady Federalist. We'd love to have you back in the future and pick this subject up some more and get the truth out there for the people. Again, you've been listening to KCNR, 1460. Blew that one up anyway. This has been Sovereign Minds, and we'll catch you next week. Thanks a lot, everyone.
Thank you.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
The suspect in last night's multiple shootings in Kalamazoo, Michigan, has driven for the ride-sharing company in the past, but she declined to say whether Jason Dalton was driving last night when six people were killed and two seriously wounded in a series of apparently random shootings. Authorities are investigating a Facebook post that indicated Dalton was driving for Uber during the manhunt and had taken at least one fare. He was arrested early today. It was a convincing win in yesterday's South Carolina primary. It's made Donald Trump the clear leader in the Republican presidential delegate race as the remaining candidates turn toward Super Tuesday, March 1st. Jeb Bush's campaign was a casualty. He dropped out last night. Ted Cruz offered praise.
Brought job creation and education innovation to the people of Florida. A man who ran a campaign based on ideas, based on policy, based on substance.